broadcasting multiplex of CBS Radio. This is the Rick Emerson Show.
Fantastic. That's the wrong thing to say to a woman. Sorry.
Yes, it is.
Obscene finger gestures from such a pristine girl. Fantastic.
I'm really mad that I couldn't find the speech in time.
Yeah, it's too bad. I thought you were mad because of your orangish hair.
I am in the middle of dyeing it.
I understand. It's a work in progress.
Okay. I've never made fun of your lack of hair, have I?
No, never. No, you've never done that. I can't possibly imagine a time when you might have made fun of my hair or anything about my appearance or the way I dress. In no way have you ever done that. You've always been completely respectful of my aesthetic appearance in every way.
That's what I'm saying.
All right. Why, hello there. It's 3 minutes and 18 seconds after the hour of 11 and this, the month of June of the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming by, making a part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not really ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. Just before the program, we were wondering whether or not to play the Bill Pullman Independence Day speech again. And I just decided...
Well, I found something right in the nick of time and then...
Well, we were trying to find another inspiring movie speech. I was trying to find something that's on par with the Bill... Really, what is on par with Bill Pullman, though? Really? Really? Let's ask ourselves now, as a people, as a nation, as a tribe, who really can carry on the torch? Who can hold off the tradition established by Bill Pullman in Independence Day? There's that Morgan Freeman speech. Somebody suggested this, that Morgan Freeman speech in... what is it, Armageddon or Deep Impact? Which one is he in? Which asteroid movie has the black president?
Deep Impact, I think.
Deep Impact? Is that the one with Taya Leone?
Yeah. Boy, she's vanished. Standing on the beach with her father as the tidal wave's coming, or the wave's coming.
I'm glad she's gone. And I mean, and not only am I glad the character's gone, I'm glad that Taya Leone herself is not around to bother us anymore with her attempts at acting.
Isn't she married to David Duchovny?
Yes, she is. That's a whole... Imagine how wooden their children will be. imagine how badly their children will act. Maybe that's the thing where it'll cancel itself out. And the offspring of David Duchovny and Taya Leone, maybe they'll be like the next Olivier. The next Meryl Streep, but that's like a recessive gene. A skip a generation kind of a thing. Taya Leone is not hot as balls. She is sort of hot. She's kind of hot, but boy, goddamn is she irritating and talentless. Just based on my estimation, I could be way off about that, but I don't think I am. The closest she ever came to being funny was in this movie called Flirting with Disaster with Ben Stiller, and that's only because she was in every scene with Ben Stiller, who's one of the worst actors I've ever seen in my life. And so, standing next to a fat person, you look thinner. Anyway, why hello? So we didn't play the Independence Day speech, nor did we play Aaron Duran's exciting, inspirational remix of the Independence Day speech.
I found something else.
We almost, what is it? It's not the Deep Impact speech?
No, but I tried to find a different speech.
We should make a whole list of inspiring movie speeches. We can play Mr. Smith Goes to Washington and that The Majestic with Jim Carrey.
Well, I'm trying to find a speech from this particular movie. I found a scene from it that's really funny.
Are you going to play it? Now, don't play the whole thing. Just play a little bit.
Should we just start the show over again?
Is this going to be the second day in a row that we start the show over again? And as a subset... to that question. Here's my small A. Question, sub-question A to the main question.
It's
is
like
this just so you can play this movie speech?
Yeah. Well, it's not even a speech. It's a piece of a movie that... It's a chunk of a movie that I couldn't find.
I saw you arch your left eyebrow when you said a chunk of a movie.
I thought it was a clever
movie.
Play on words.
Do you feel good about this?
Yeah.
All right.
KCMD AM Portland.
Encouraging people to party. That's what it's all about.
This is AM 970. Solid State Radio. Attention FM DJs in the greater Portland area.
Again.
Your daily show prep begins now.
Gotta be going out in style. Cruising the coast. Sniffing some rays. Down in the bruise. But no! One older brother had to go and screw it up. Well, I'm getting a driver's test.
I just got the best. You're not going
to do it, kid.
Hey, you guys, you got to let me in.
You're clerk.
Come on.
It's Chunk.
I just saw the most amazing thing of my entire life.
First, you got to do the truffle shuffle.
Come on.
Do it.
Come on. Do it.
Cut it out,
Mom.
I got nothing on how to end it.
I'd say we just cut it now.
At least I tried. I don't see you over there trying.
What do you rank that opening on a scale of 1 to 10?
I liked it.
And now, coming to you from the Super Digital Studio, deep within the broadcasting multiplex of CBS Radio, this is the Rick Emerson Show.
All right, it's 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along. Make it a part of your listening day. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Really, is that true? Bill Pullman and Ben Stiller are in a movie together? That's like some, that's when worlds collide. That's what that is. 503-733-2970. With your comments, your clarifications, your conventions, your corrections, your two cents, or what have you. 503-733-2970. You'd like to be part of today's program. It is Wednesday, and welcome to Day 12, kids. You can also email us if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. You can email Sarah Dillon. It's sarah@970.am, tim@970.am, or scottyj@970.am. It is 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970 or rick@rickemerson.com. All right, with the people that we've got to... Really? Okay, well, I'll take that in a second. No, I think you're... No, you're also 970.am, Scotty. I'm pretty sure they both go to you. I think there's like five different... We bought a whole bunch of domains. It's like solidstateradio.am. It's a bunch of Armenian websites. If you don't pay your bill, they come and chop your feet off. Anyway, so you can email us all there, kids. Hi, it's Wednesday. Coming up today, Steve Kastenbaum is going to be joining us today from, I think he's still in Manchester. Now, I will say this right now. I missed large chunks of the Republican debate. There was only... Tim, are you an Indian? Oh, you're yawning.
Freedom, liberty. Just keep repeating those words over and over again as Republicans keep doing.
It's like Republican refrigerator magnet poetry. Children, 9/11, evildoers, Axis, terror, gays.
They think the public wants more of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't have... See, that's why you can never be replaced. Despite this guy, John, who came to OMSI today and who played the part of Tim Riley, this is why no one can ever really replace Tim Riley for even a few minutes at a time. Just your ability just to sum it all up, to boil it down to its internal essence.
If that's what you guys think. You old gray-haired white people. That's what you think people talk about at your country clubs.
I don't have my phone with me. It's upstairs. I try not to bring the phone to the studio because if the... Because then people just want to call me and talk to me about crap. But I got this text message last night from Joni. It was about halfway through the debate. And she just summed it up with, Romney is a tool and Huckabee is an a-hole. F them. That was it, right there. That was the summation, the distilled assessment of the entire thing. So we'll talk to Steve Kastenbaum, who's in Manchester, New Hampshire.
We're actually going to be talking to Lisa Goddard.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Did you deliberately not tell me that so it would be a pleasant surprise?
No, I forgot.
She's not even listed on the sheet.
I know. He's stuck on a plane. His flight got delayed.
Oh, no. You don't have to apologize, Sarah. All right. Okay. I'm just saying, you don't have to make excuses or rationalizations for why we're getting Lisa. Steve Kastenbaum and Dick Giuliano, but it's neither of them. It's Lisa Goddard. Fantastic. Let me update my sheet. Lisa Goddard. All right. I saw little sections of it, and then I was watching some clips today on the YouTube and so forth, and it just a big snooze fest. And nobody went crazy. Nobody went insane. Nobody punched anybody. Nobody kicked over a podium. It's all kind of disappointing, so we'll talk about it regardless, because it's what we do. Who else? We'll talk to CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy today as America says goodbye to Bob Barker, who I believe taped his last show today. I don't know when it airs. Does that not... I guess it doesn't air live, by definition. I don't know when it's going to air. So the Bob Barker taped his final program today. I'm sad that I never got to see it. I never got to see The Price is Right, ever. I know I've uncorked this lament a few times, but this is my last chance to use it. After this month, I won't be able to use this anymore. So I never got to spin the prize. I mean, somebody will still be there. Have they announced who's hosting it now?
No, they have not.
Well, they better hustle their bustle because they're coming up like 2 weeks from now. I mean, I guess you could just rerun old episodes of that forever. Who would ever notice? I mean, really, here's the thing. And we'll talk about Body World 3 here in just a few minutes. Realize this, friends. Long after you are dead, long after, whether it happens next week or whether it happens in 70 years, long after you have shuffled off your mortal coil and you are food for the worms, peanuts will still be running in the Oregonian. I mean, whatever form the Oregonian exists in, they will still be running peanuts and they will still be running The Price is Right, and that's it. Because nobody can ever tell. I mean, Bob Barker's hair color stayed largely the same for the bulk of that. You know, he's still leering at women, still a bunch of morbidly obese housewives jumping up and down, coming out of their undergarments. I mean, it's him. It doesn't matter. Doesn't fluctuate. They're still playing Plinko and the mountaineering game. That's it. So, and still a bunch of buxom blonde women draped over the hood of a car. I mean, that's all the show is. Let's see. We'll talk to Mr. Skin from MrSkin.com today. We will talk to Scotty J as well. We'll get your phone calls. We'll get your email and all of that. It's 503-733-2970 today. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It is rick@rickemerson.com. Now, we'll do introductions, news, teasers all around here in a second. We'll talk to these people who are on hold. I do have a film question, as they say in Britain, to ask. We'll talk about OMSI in just a second. We'll tell you how you might still be able to grab some tickets to OMSI Body Worlds 3 and so forth. Well, let's just get these before we do anything else. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick, if you've got through Funland, there's a wonderful soliloquy by David Lander at the end of that where he talks about how you can get away with anything if you're a clown.
Really? And this is Funland, the killing clown movie.
Yeah.
I have to be honest and say that DVD is sitting on top of my TiVo right now, but I haven't watched it.
Well, and, you know, there's other choices, too. There's always Tom Hanks in his Armani tux getting ready to jump into the volcano.
Oh, yeah. Joe Bush, good reference, Joe vs. the Volcano. Let me just tell you this. I saw this terrible movie, which a lot of people are claiming is great. Those people are lying. I saw this terrible movie, Waitress, last weekend, and one of the only high points of the movie, and calling it a high point is really relative, is when they used a Joe versus the Volcano line in that, and I was the only one in the theater that spotted it. Because everybody else in the theater was sitting around thinking about what Oprah Book Club novel they were going to read next. And there was a great moment when somebody, this doctor asked, no, I'm sorry, when Carrie Russell asked this doctor with whom she's having an affair, she said, well, what about blah, blah, blah? And he said, I have no response to that. Which is totally Meg Ryan from Joe versus the Volcano. That's exactly where that's from. So,
yeah, her Tweedledum or Tweedledee character, one or the other.
Fantastic. Good reference, my friend. All right. Thank you.
Bye.
All right. There you go. That'll be our thing. Maybe that can be our that'll be our next kooky radio gimmick. We can just begin each day's program with an inspiring movie speech of some kind. Were you trying to find the this is our time down here? This is my wish. I'm taking it back. That Goonies thing, the whatever. All right.
I was.
All right.
I couldn't find
it. How does it feel to have failed? And I'm not. Your hair looks fine. I just didn't know if it was in a transitional stage or not.
It is.
All right.
I already told you. I know it's all kind of yellowy. And
right before we started, I just said, hey, your hair looks really interesting. And you know what it is? It was the pause. They really sold that too. Hey, Siri, your hair looks ... interesting. And then without even a second thought, like the middle finger just comes right up. Just reflexively.
I found it, but it's really quiet.
Too late. The moment's passed.
Don't you realize? He was a pro. He never made it this far. But how far we've come.
That music sounds like the Michael Jackson story.
What, Mikey? Getting killed? Look, if we keep going, someone's really going to get
him. The moment's passed. We'll play tomorrow. We'll do it. We'll be at the beginning of tomorrow's show. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. I was wondering if you guys had heard about the story where the Salem legislature passed some BS bill that says that now men can take their wives' name.
Yeah, what a bunch of crap that is. What are they thinking? Yeah, wasn't it on the front of the Oregonian yesterday?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't read a newspaper.
Good for you. Yeah, I think
there's nothing wrong with not reading the news.
No, I think it was on the front of the Oregonian. I think they were always able to, but I think now it is easier, yes, for men who are betrothed to take their wives' names. Yes.
Well, not just that, but the bill's written in such a way you can write in any name you want.
Well, good for them.
Well, I was thinking that you should tell Lisa Goddard because, you know, she's got the whole name problem.
Yeah.
And they should get married out here. Then just, you know, make it up later.
Yeah, I think her family already has a weird enough impression of you, me, and everybody associated with this program, because all of the Rick Emerson audience, even though I never gave out and still have never given out the web address of her online wedding registration, you know, I mean, it's not too hard to find. And so you go to the guest book on her and her fiancé's website, and it's just full of like, hello, I'm a glorious bastard, you're hot, you know, and it's just, her family already thinks that we're freaking creepy. So suggesting that she get married out here is, might be one step too far, sir. That might be when the restraining order or the jealous fiance kicks into gear.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah Stillen. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm good. I'm tired.
Well.
I woke up so early.
You woke up so early. I woke up my regular time, more or less.
Yeah.
You woke up early. It was worth it, though. We'll talk about OMSI Body World 3 here.
Yeah, that was really cool.
It was pretty fascinating. We'll talk about that. We'll have a review of that in the noon hour, by the way, from John, who played the role of Tim Riley today.
You know what Scotty J bought when we were over at the Plaid together?
No.
A beef stick.
I could never eat beef jerky again after going to that Body World 3 thing. On that note, Tim Riley's working on the following stories for you today.
I told you so.
I got to tell you, I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but just to say, I'm not saying it had this effect on me, but I will be surprised if that, I will say, just my brief one-line review right here, up top, before we do anything else. It is fantastic. It really is amazing, Body World 3. I will be surprised, however, if it doesn't create some new vegetarians. I will say that, to be honest.
I was feeling pretty nauseous.
Pretty bad about your Slim Jims at home?
Oh.
Yeah. All right. Tim Riley's working on the following story today, kids.
Well, that's a shame. Let's see. A burglar is breaking into a Salem church and are discovered wearing the stolen priest's clothes. We're going to hear from the TV guy. A Washington County man has been convicted of keeping sex slaves against their wishes. And there's been an axe attack in the southeast Portland Winco parking lot.
Fantastic. We heard about that today from some guy. Some guy from some news station. Tim Gordon.
At Coin News 6.
Coin News 6. Is he the last man standing there? Is he the last human employee at that place?
No, him and Oli are still there. Those three guys that we saw this morning were all my buddies in the morning. They're really nice.
All right. So
the rest of them?
Yeah.
No, the guys.
The rest of them have fallen away.
Remember the cheese ball I worked with?
That one cheesy guy that was on the television.
The tan guy with the white hair.
No.
Who replaced the Ronk.
No.
Oh, anyway, I guess he's not working in the mornings anymore.
Well, then I guess it doesn't matter that I don't remember
him. That they imported from.
Yeah. The import.
Whatever happened to, what's her name, Jenny Hogan?
She's still there.
Is she still there? All right. Well, in any event. Oh, and we met I shouldn't say, but I won't call them out by name, but I will say this, that as we were touring Body Worlds 3 today at OMSI, we're doing a little press tour, we met people from various other broadcast outlets who, when not working at their own radio station, or perhaps even while working at their own radio stations, are listening to us and this station. So, hello. And
hello,
thank you for listening. Hello.
You know who you are.
Exactly. It was just, you know, kind of great, because, I mean,
you can't buy better show prep anywhere.
I was just going to say, because everything else is mediocre.
It's just one-stop shopping.
Really, that's exactly what it is. This is sort of like,
doesn't matter what your demographic is, you'll find it here.
Yeah.
Free of charge.
We're like one of those free stores they had in Berkeley during the Summer of Love. Just come on by and pick up whatever you need. Maybe it's a wacky catchphrase like Year of Our Lord to use at the beginning of the program. Maybe it's a monologue bed that you want to use. Maybe it's just several stories that your afternoon news girl can then just read in exactly the same order about 3 hours later.
Huh.
Not that I'm referring to anybody specifically.
Mm.
That would be wrong. All right, I'm sorry. I don't want to make it all negative. I want to stay on the positive tip, as the kids say. All right, so I think we're a little scattered today just because I got in kind of late, because we were in OMSI. Coming up in the noon news hour, our friend John, who won the chance to be Tim Riley for a day and a half. He'll pay us another visit, by the way, on Friday during the news hour. He ended up being pretty normal. He was actually refreshingly normal and funny. He's a cool guy. So he toured OMSI with us today, which is just, I mean, which really is amazing. I mean, it is just mind-blowing. And somebody asked me if it was off-putting or if it was gross in some way, or if it was creepy. And I would say this. First of all, Tim would not have made it through. You would have gotten about 30 feet inside that exhibit, because it's two whole floors.
Oh.
You would have made it about 5 minutes in, and you would have been heading for the door and the bathroom.
Well, the skin man, the first thing that you walk in.
Skin man!
Yeah, if you see a guy, you know, standing there.
Just say it.
Holding his own skin.
It's pretty great,
in
actually.
In his hand.
It is. The first thing you see when you walk in, and I'm not ruining any surprises, because even if I were to tell you every single thing you're going to see, I won't prepare you. I can't do it justice. The first thing you see when you walk in is and again, these are all real human bodies that have been sort of plasticized, dipped in plastic, for lack of a better word. That didn't really do it justice either, because
they don't look like they're dipped in plastic.
That's the thing is, you can't see the plastic. The plastic is absolutely invisible. So it really is, though, it's an actual human body that they've just moments ago taken the skin off.
But your mind can't really wrap around the fact that it actually is a human, so it looks fake to you. So it's this weird.
Well, I was talking to Susan.
That's bizarre.
Susan Reynolds was saying, she's like, oh, when I go through, I'm just going to have to repeat to myself, oh, it's just a wax dummy. But I told her it's quite the opposite. You will have to remind yourself that they're not wax dummies, because you can't conceive that it's a real person, that it's a real actual body in front of you. But the first thing you see when you walk in is like a guy standing there, and he's posed like he's, I don't know, like he's like he's a king holding a scepter. Except instead of a scepter, I swear to God, they've just removed, like, his entire skin layer, so he's like a muscle guy, you know, so he's just, literally, so it's like the first layer you see of his body is the muscles, and he's just, like, holding his own skin.
A big pile of skin.
In one big piece.
And it has the toes on it, and the head, and
seriously,
everything.
And he's just holding his own, like, skin suit. It's just so weird. I'm not trying to be gross. It's just, it is unbelievable. Also, and if you learn nothing else at the Body World 3 exhibit at ANSI, for which we are giving away tickets for the next 5 weeks, if you are a Glorious Bastard signed up at 970.am, you'll have a chance at those.
Oh, that's rad.
If you learn nothing else, it's that you're all going to die of cancer. All of you. Those of you who don't die of a stroke or cirrhosis, or some sort of a pulmonary embolism, or a heart attack.
Yeah, that enlarged heart was pretty freaky.
Man. And there's this thing like, look at this. It's a, you know, it's, what, and there's a couple of exhibits where you can't quite tell what you're looking at. And then you look at the little sign. What is this? Well, it's your spleen covered in tumors. There's any number of things there that end with the phrase.
The ovarian tumor was so awful.
That's the Cadillac of tumors.
Ugh.
Tumor?
I barely knew her.
And then seeing all your intestines, all 30 feet, on a wall.
The intestine. Oh, and now, see, that doesn't freak me out so much as it's just fascinating in that.
Like, how do they all fit in you?
They show you some dude's intestinal system, his whole digestive system, and it starts with the mouth all the way down to the anus, or pooper. And
Did it say pooper?
Well, that's for the younger set. I just stole that line from Mystery Science Theater. Mike, here's the inside of Gamera's intestinal system. Here is Gamera's anus, or pooper. Anyway, they show you your entire intestine, and it's like 45 feet of intestines. And that's going in a pretty small space. I mean, it's unbelievable. So I know we're talking about something that you haven't seen by definition, but it really is. And well, this is not plugging. We are not being paid to endorse this. I'm simply saying it's pretty goddamn amazing.
Well, and the super cool thing is it's not only these bodies, but they're also, each of them is posed. Like, there's a theme for each person.
And there's, like, somebody throwing a javelin, and there's, like, a skateboarding guy.
And there's someone coming out from a grave, which is really cool.
That one's really cool. And then there's,
or maybe not like that. That guy Tor from the Edward movie.
There's a guy bumping into a styrofoam headstone.
Tor Johnson was
in Tor. Yeah, exactly. No. Logically, Tor would have trouble getting through the door. Prince. Golden.
But Scotty brings up a good point, too. It's fascinating. You're there, and these bodies are standing up, and you really realize they're not on strings or anything. I don't know how the heck they're up there.
It is, and there's one where there is one exhibit. You know, you can tell, by the way, this is exactly why companies give free things to DJs. Because now we come on and we're just talking about it endlessly. If I was to bill ANSI for this, I mean, we'd be into the thousands of dollars by now. Just since I started talking about this 10 minutes ago, we'd be like $5,000. There's a couple where there's a man. This sounds so horrible, but it really was beautiful.
It was beautiful.
Where there's a male and female corpse hugging with their brains hanging out. It really doesn't sound beautiful when I describe it that way. When their spines dangling. Really, I'm not underscoring the beauty of the exhibit.
It was like you were looking up to me like, oh, that's beautiful.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful the way that their intestines are on the floor. The way that their spines are bent at a weird angle and their brains are in front of their face.
The part that weirded me out was
hot.
Were the belly buttons.
Yeah.
The navel.
Jim, are you glad you missed it?
I certainly am.
Yeah, all right. Well, I don't have any time to do anything now. I don't have time. I never did ask this Indian question. All right. Well, we, what are we doing here? All right. Well, we should break here. Yes. That is true. Scotty's saying we saw the real Mr. and Mrs. Corpse. Yes. All right. 503 is Todd the Corpse and Mrs. Corpse. Blah, blah,
I'm just
blah.
Not getting Scotty's jokes today.
No, Scotty wasn't funny at all this morning. Mm-hmm. We walked through the entire way and Scotty didn't make one joke that was funny. It's like he used up all of his humor yesterday.
Yeah, that's all he did was make jokes, too.
503-733-2970. Here's what's coming up. We'll come back. Your phone call. Steve Kastenbaum about the GOP debate. Tim Riley is preparing news as we speak. We will be talking more about Armsy Body World 3. Mr. Skin coming up later on. And Ed McCarthy. You stay there. We all, blah, da, da, blah, da, da, blah.
We all what?
Goomba Gawa. Why, hello. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along. Rick, I saw Body Worlds a year ago in St. Paul. A guy I was with swore to quit smoking when he saw the black lungs of the plasticized smokers. To this day, he's not gone back to smoking. The thing, the black lung from smoking is, I mean, it was okay, except that I've seen it. Like, that's a thing that they show you all the time in grade school. That's the thing that they have this one exhibit, and this, I swear to God, we'll quit talking about this for a while because nobody else, the odds are you haven't seen it, and so we're just going on and on about something you haven't seen. They got this one thing where it's like the human foot, except all it is like the blood vessels in your foot. It's hard to explain.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of ways. It's like wearing a fishnet sock or something.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It's like
a fishnet
like a three-dimensional fishnet stocking that's bright red.
And they had a three-dimensional lamb?
Yeah. Basically, where they've taken a body and they remove everything except your circulatory system, and they leave that in the shape of the creature. So basically, it's like, yeah, a whole bunch of blood vessels shaped like a cow or something.
That's the part that messed me up, to look at the arm and, like, your foot and see how many
blood vessels
and what. I can't remember the word.
I'm just going to tell you, well, it's your whole circulatory system.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. No, I got to tell you, that's actually, not like I'm some archetype for clean living or whatever, but to whatever extent I treat my body decently, it really is because my parents or my mom especially worked in the medical field, and she gave me an appreciation early on of how carefully your body's constructed, and it's like, I always feel like it's sort of, I don't mean this to sound like overtly weird or religious or whatever, or freaky, but I always do kind of feel like, as I've sort of been given this really great house to live in, and I would just feel terrible if I screwed it up. It's like a thing somebody spent like a long time building and working on, and I would just feel like an ass if I somehow just defaced it. So that's one of those things where I'm trying really hard not to like get a foot like caught in, a machinery somewhere. I'd feel bad for messing it up. It's like ruining the carpets in a really swank palace you've been given for like a year. All right, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard from Manchester, New Hampshire. Why, hello, and how are you?
Hi, you're so close. I'm actually just got off the plane in Washington.
Oh, I almost said from the Hill, and at the last second,
I could tell.
I caught myself, and I wanted to be accurate, and then it all fell apart at the end. Well, all right. How is Manchester? Are you happy? What is it like? This is a dumb question. Is it cold there? No, I guess it wouldn't be because it's June, but.
It actually was warmer today, but the first couple of days in Manchester were chilly. I didn't really bring any long. I was like a homeless person with four or five layers on me around Manchester.
In my head, I always picture Manchester about 5 feet deep in snow and people tapping trees for the sap. Even in like, even in like July, that's what I picture it like there.
No snow, but I didn't see people tapping trees.
So, all right, I will confess to you right now that I didn't see large portions of the Republican debate. I saw some smatterings of it, a few snatches of it, and I saw some of it on the YouTube this morning, and it largely uninteresting. There were not a whole lot of fireworks. A friend of mine summed it up this way. She sent me a text message last night, and she said, Mitt Romney is a tool and Mike Huckabee is, I will not use her word, but Mike Huckabee is a jerk. And that was her assessment of it. And really, that was the most colorful assessment I heard anybody use. I did not see anything unexpected. It seemed like a lot of buzzwords, very prepared, very staged, everybody being very careful not to say anything out of the ordinary. Am I right about that?
Oh, absolutely right. Although I think what was interesting about these two debates, first of all, it's June, people, so it's really not everyone knows that the most news that's going to come out of these debates is if someone really says something stupid. And we didn't have that in either debate. But what I thought was interesting is comparing the Democrats as one force, I guess. Almost in kind of a Justice League situation here. I don't know who is the good guys, who's the bad guys. But the Democrats as a force versus the Republicans as a debating force, very different styles. And I have to say I was surprised that I thought the Republicans seemed a little more at ease. Then the Democrats, it almost seemed like they were a little more insecure. I may be on my own on that, but I felt like there was much more rough and tumble, much more like kind of crawling and scraping their way over each other with the Democrats. The Republicans seemed to be kind of biding their time in a very Sopranos type of way with each other right now, just trying to score points on their own, not really making any big attacks yet.
Well, I will tell you this, and here's my, for whatever it was, my dime store assessment of this situation. I think it's because, I think the Democrats, although everybody said the same thing in 2000 and in 2004, is that I think the Democrats, as they always do, feel that they've got a real shot this time. It's so depressing. Even mouthing those words sounds so depressing. I feel like a fan of the Utah Jazz. This year we've got a shot. This year it'll work.
That's just mean.
Yeah, and, you know, of course, it's never going to work. It's not ever going to happen. Give it up. Go home. Why do you even turn up? Why do you even come out for training days, you know? But I think the Democrats feel like they've got a real shot, and so
they do.
Everybody,
right.
You know, yeah, everybody wants to be there to take down the Death Star. You know, everybody wants to be on that mission. And by the same token, I think on the Republican side, I think that there's two things. A, I think there's a little bit of not insecurity, but I think there might almost be a little bit of like, we are, you know, there's a better than even chance that they're going to get their brains beat out come next year. And so maybe they're, you know, biding their time, not for 2008, but in a way, maybe even biding their time for 2012. Or my other tiny little observation would be this, that maybe it's that the Republicans are waiting until they have a stationary target. Because it must be a very strange time to be a Republican, because you can't brag about the war. And I know that sounds like a horrible thing to say, but I mean, a lot of times, you know, the administration say, look, we're over there, we're fighting evil, we're kicking ass, we're taking names, we're doing the right thing. You can't really do that. You can't make hay out of this war, politically speaking. You can't do that. They can't lash themselves to the current administration. They can't point to, they can't point to, like, well, hey, gas prices are cheaper than they've ever been. They can't do that.
They're not following Bush on the economy, saying, hey, guys, the economy is great, because I think these candidates realize that's not working.
And they don't have a specific Democrat to attack yet. There's no enemy for them. So what are the Republicans going to do? What are they to do? I mean, you know.
Well, you know, and that's actually what, and this may be the boring policy wonking me, but that's kind of why I like these early debates, because you actually do get more meat and potatoes and less of the missile firing that we're going to see later on. I thought the Republican debate especially, they really did get into some ideas on health care. And, you know, I thought it was very telling, no matter what you think about their views, that they spent so much time on faith and religion. And so you really got a sense of who these guys are and what their beliefs are, whether that matches up with you or whether you think they have, that faith is too much a part of their politics. It was out there, and I thought they really mixed it up on a lot of subjects. There either wasn't any blood in the water, you know, no tickle fights, nothing that would make a good late night cinematic feature. But I thought there was some great depth in both of these debates that I hope continues, but we'll see.
Let me ask you, this is speaking of just sort of being wanky, this is just sort of an off, not off topic, but a very broad question. This, somebody asked me this last night, and I didn't have a real in-depth answer because, you know, as much as I'm kind of a political junkie, I'm nobody's idea of a historian. Her question to me was there ever a time when the Republican Party was not so intertwined with Christianity in terms of how they position themselves? In other words, is that a post Falwell development, that there is such a relentless intermingling of Christianity and the Christian base and the Republican Party?
I think the dominance of faith-based religion definitely is a Falwell Reagan era thing. I think that's accurate. I think that there has been a religious tie going back to Strom Thurmond and the South. Now, Strom Thurmond didn't push that religious tie, but when he went from the Democratic Party to the Dixiecrats, which I love bringing up whenever I can, and then to the Republican Party, the group that followed him in the South followed him mainly because of civil rights. But that was the same group that had a very serious religious fervor, mostly a lot of Southern Baptists. And so there was that overlap, and that really kind of pushed the Republican Party in that direction. But it wasn't dominant, as the Republican Party wasn't a Southern party at that time. But that was the beginning of it. And, you know, you can go all the way back to the beginning of the Republican Party with Abraham Lincoln, and it definitely was not based on religion at that point, and followed up to Richard Nixon. Richard Nixon was not a candidate running so much on his faith as much as the Republican cloth coat that he liked to talk about and all his foreign policy situations. So, yeah, I think it is relatively recent, but its foundations go back to, I think, the civil rights era, and then it really, Jerry Falwell galvanized it with after Roe versus Wade.
Presuming that Mitt Romney has the most money of all these candidates, who's second?
Yes. I think second on the Republican side is going to be Giuliani.
He's
the second most wealthy.
I guess that surprises me. I guess maybe I don't know. Maybe it shouldn't. I guess I view him in my head as being a guy who just worked in. I guess I don't know why it should surprise me, but I guess I view him as a mayor, and I guess I sort of assume that didn't pay an exorbitant salary, but maybe it did, or maybe it's... Is that a recent development wealthy?
Yeah, it wasn't his stint as mayor. It's his time afterward. He has made, in the last 18 months, he's made $1 million a month.
Ugh.
And most of that money has come from speaking engagements, but he also makes a very lucrative salary from his firm that does consulting, mainly on security issues. And he's a partner in that firm, and he makes a good deal of money off of that.
All right. Well, this is undoubtedly this will continue to unfold as things go on. I know we've asked you this. This is a real off topic for a second. Has the Body Worlds exhibit already come through where you are, or is it on the way? Do you know?
I think it must have already come through because I was seeing the ads on the Metro buses here and on the subway, but I don't see them anymore, so I think I must have missed it.
If it comes through again, you got to, even if you have to do a little bit of traveling to go see it, you got to do that at some point. It's pretty pretty jaw-dropping. It really is. And if you're a smoker now, you might stop.
I want to get out there. I guess it wouldn't be the same if I took a ball of yarn and sort of made it in the shape of a cow somehow.
Probably not. No.
I
don't really know, but I mean, if you are looking for a summer pastime, I suppose it's either that or just endless Sue Grafton novels. So, all right. Lisa Goddard from the Health Package Sister. All right.
All right.
Lisa Goddard, fantastic. Back in Washington, D.C. Yeah, I guess it's either that or Mary Higgins Clark. So, one or the other. Just have fun with that. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Let's get a couple of these. We got a few minutes here before we get a break. Let's see. Hi, it's the Rick Emerson Show. Who are you?
Eric.
Hey, what's up?
Watched The Shield last night.
Yes, sir.
Disappointed.
I felt that last night was a letdown as well. I felt
horribly disappointed.
I thought, and you know, I've been saying, and this, I got an email from somebody else about this here, asking me about The Shield. And don't get me wrong, you all know that I'm a huge Shield fan. I'm a massive fan of that show. I believe The Shield. I still believe, with the possible exception of The Wire, I believe The Shield to be the finest program on television now of the shows that I watch. Now I know that I don't watch Lost. And I still got to watch Heroes, so I know that there's other competition out there.
Well, I was under the impression that this was his last year, but
It's got one more.
Oh, okay, so we can all go through next year doing the same thing.
No.
Yeah, it just the whole storyline with Asa Veda and that stuff. I mean, it's just, you know, they just tried to put too much into the last episode.
Well,
last
and
night.
even at 90 minutes, it felt rushed. I mean, I got to bed again after swearing. Do you do this where you go up and you're like, swear to God, I'm going to go to bed at 10 o'clock tonight? And it's always when you wake up in the morning. You wake up and you just feel like a bag of hammered crap.
I feel like a bag of hammered crap.
And you're just sort of like, I swear to God, I'm going to go home and I'm going to go to sleep at 8:30 tonight. And I'm going to drink.
Yeah.
I'm going to have, you know, it's clean living for me. I'm just going to have carrot juice and fiber for the next 3 days.
See, the problem was I watched, The Shield, and then I had to watch The Deadliest Catch.
Of course.
That I taped, and then I had to watch After the Catch, which I also saw anyway, yeah.
Anyway, let's talk about The Shield for a second, because I did get some other emails about this. So The Shield, even at 90 minutes, it had the Sopranos syndrome in that they were trying to tie up or at least put in motion a lot of loose ends, I think, in too little time. It just felt like, I mean, and that's the season's only 13 episodes long.
I know.
So that is... they are a little bit under the gun. Let's first things first. They are going to do one more season. The 2008 season will be the last. The next season is the final one. I will say, and again, if you don't want to hear anything about last night's Shield, you tune out right now. Couple things. I think the interplay between Vic Mackey and David Aceveda is really great for the most part, especially, and we have to be careful how we talk about this, the photograph of David Aceveda in what might charitably be called a compromising position.
Yeah.
I think, man, that was so great when that photo came back last week. Because that was one of the most horrifying storylines in the history of television. And I knew it wasn't done. I knew that photograph of Aceveda getting it put to him by force was going to come back. And that Vic showed up with it. And even the fact that he sort of gave the photos to Aceveda, he's like, look, you know, I need you on my team to help me stay on. I thought last night's episode was really great. The death of the homeless guy, the interplay between Dutch and what's her name, the young Latina cop, the hot chick, the voice of the department, whatever, Tina. I thought all that was great. The moment where it all kind of fell apart for me last night is that final revelation where they open the trunk of the car and there's just like, you know, there's just like blackmail and extortion photos and documents and files and big boxes of blackmail crap.
All the information was sitting there. That was stupid.
Every single thing. There's like literally at one point Vic Mackey picks up a CD-ROM last night because there's a guy's car trunk, which is full of boxes of blackmail evidence on every public official apparently in Los Angeles. And Vic Mackey picks up a CD-ROM and he says, well, this one's called City Commissioner Jacobs and the Bluebird Girls, or whatever.
Yeah, well, you expected him to pull out real photos of the JFK assassination, and there are UFOs the whole thing. Yeah.
It was almost like Independence Day, like Bill Pullman going to Area 51 and seeing the aliens. That to me, that felt like what the writers call a deus ex machina, which means that they've written themselves into a corner and they just pulled something out of their butt.
Well, see, that whole thing going in and finding all the weapons in that guy's office and stuff, you know, it went nowhere. It was totally unnecessary. Just waste of time from the storyline.
Yeah, there were a few moments last night where it just felt like Vic was getting a little too lucky, or they were putting things together, putting complex conspiracies together in their head a little too easily.
Well, Shane taking Mackey's wife and daughter, you know, okay, all he had to do was say, I'm here to help you. They're after you. Come with me.
I mean,
they didn't have to go through the drama of you know. It was just disappointing.
I mean, you know, it's a real minor and relative complaint because, again, I still hold The Shield up as the greatest program on television right now. But I do feel that last night was a disappointing season finale, and I know some Heroes fans who said the same thing about Heroes. Great season, bad finale. So,
well, you know what the problem is, too, is it is such a great show. Any letdown at all.
Yeah.
It's so disappointing.
Yeah, I mean,
it's still 50 times better than anything else, but
it's like The Sopranos, where it's such a genius program that any slight deviation from genius just feels like a body blow. Yeah.
That's what it was last night.
Totally.
I was just going, they're just, you know, you just taking me as a sap here, guys.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, they'll have one more season, and I think they'll be able to wrap things up nicely. I think it's going to go out in style.
That'll be cool, then.
All right, thank you, sir. There you go. Yeah, The Shield last night. Let's see. I want to go on and on about The Shield because it is sort of a niche program, but I will read. I'll just do a couple of these here and then we'll break. Rick, this email says, did you find that they wrapped up the Billings and Hyatt lines too quickly and tidily? I was a bit disappointed. I think Claudette has been relegated to a second-tier character in The Shield. I do think that I buy the character of Claudette getting rid of what's-his-name, getting rid of Hyatt. I think that that's okay because she strikes me as someone who wants to have absolute control and dominion over the barn, over that outfit that they're running there. And so it makes sense to me that she would just kick him out. The only real problem I had last night was that the revelation of all the blackmail stuff in the trunk. It just seemed like they painted themselves into this impossible corner with Vic Mackey getting kicked off the force in 3 days. He goes to the hearing. He walks out of the hearing. They can't have him get kicked off the force entirely, although that would have been interesting. But they couldn't come up with any other they built up such a convincing argument that he had used up all his favors, he had exhausted all of his chits, as they say, and that there was simply nobody else that he could turn to for help. And so they had to reveal this whole business of You know, well, here's like the mayor's daughter, like getting it on in the, you know, in a dumpster somewhere. We've got photographs of it. They had to reveal all that. It feels like just as a way to keep him a cop for next season. And it did feel like, you'll pardon the pun, it felt like a cop out last night. So, you know, whatever. It's still a genius show, but I felt that the last night's finale could have been a lot better. All right, we'll take a break here. We'll come back. Tim Riley around the corner at the Ministry of Truth with the noon news hour coming up later on. We've got CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy about The Price is Right, Mr. Skin from MrSkin.com. Scotty J is preparing the top five Bobby songs of all time and more of your phone calls. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Stay right there. You have never sounded more like Mr. Magoo than you did just then. No offense. And this contraption won't let me send email. Let's go out to my jalopy. Fantastic. Well, Magoo, you've done it again. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. All right, so we found a bit of movie speechifying that we'll play at the beginning of tomorrow's show. We'll send the link off. We'll send the link to there and play at the beginning of tomorrow's program. Tomorrow's program, assembled by robots. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Coming up later on, Scotty J's top five body songs. Also, CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy and Mr. Skin. Ladies and gentlemen, will you please put your working class hands together for the Reverend Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
It could rain today and ruin the kids' parade. And the ships are coming in today, too. And these ships will mean max and bus delays up to 10 minutes today and tomorrow. Then at 1 o'clock this afternoon is the Fred Meyer Jr. Parade, giving kids the opportunity to skip school and not forfeit their education. During the bridge lifts, all max trains will need to drop riders off in Old Town, where all the scum of the earth usually hang around and are waiting to rob you of all your belongings.
That is the official CBS radio policy, by the way. That's our official view. So let's see.
So there are going to be thunderstorms also.
All right, so I'm sorry, I hate to do this to you now. Can you just do that article one more time, just so we can address those things point by point? I wanted to get all the information out, but...
Eight ships
so this is
are
eight...
coming to Portland.
It's not that I've lost the ability to hear. I'm just saying, I wanted to...
Does it say what time?
I wanted to get the information out again.
Yes, it does.
I didn't mean to trouble you by asking you to read the story again. I was simply saying, it's the first story of the hour. I'm settling in. I wanted to have it gone over again just so I could make a Mary Jakes at the expense of the Rose Festival. So when is this... So what is it? This is bridge lifts and whatever. This is the Navy ships or the aircraft carriers or whatnot coming in today?
Yes.
All right.
And the kids' parade.
And the kids' parade is where, so I can avoid it?
Northeast Portland's Hollywood District, beginning at 1. So it should be over with by the time you get out of work.
Bunch of children just wandering through Northeast Portland. Mm-hmm. Have fun with that. And it will quite literally be raining on their parade today.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
there's hundreds of children sad and crying. That's almost enough to make me go, really. Just enough to sit there and laugh at them.
Four ships are coming in.
This is one of those days that I really am glad I'm on my bike, though. I did bicycle in today, even though I had to go to OMSI today. So
not necessarily. They're going to raise those bridges.
Yeah, but see, you can get around that, though, by going...
Yeah, I'm going to have to leave, like, the second work is over.
Yes, my putting my bicycle in my teeth, like Tarzan, and swimming across the Willamette. Now, I guess I can't do the Ross Island Bridge, but if I felt a little athletic, I could go across the Selwood Bridge, couldn't I?
Who are you fooling?
Now, I'm not going to sit there and wait for the stupid...
Your fat American ass is going to be sitting there waiting for the bridge to go
I would
down.
Wait... Now, listen to me now. I would wait for one bridge lift, but this is like up and down all day long, right? Is there a schedule?
There is.
Really? So there's a schedule that says when the ships are going, but do you suppose it's even remotely accurate?
Four ships are scheduled to arrive in 15-minute intervals beginning at 3 o'clock, just as the show comes to a close.
Oh, so that's fine. It doesn't affect me at all, because I won't be going up to like 5:30 or 6.
Yeah, I do.
In your face, Sarah Dillon.
All right.
Then the remaining four ships will arrive tomorrow, with one ship each scheduled for 3 p.m. and 4 p.m., and the two others arriving at 6 p.m. and 6:30
p.m. Oh, see, that's the day that they screw you, though. See, that's... And on a Friday at rush hour. Friday at rush hour, putting the bridge up every 15 minutes, essentially, which effectively backs... Like that, if you're going, if you're heading east, that it's taken me so long to figure out which way is east in the city, and I've been here for 10 years. If you are heading east over the Hawthorne Bridge, that effectively backs your traffic all the way up to like northwest. I mean, that's insane.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, you know why? You know why this all seems so familiar to me? Because as somebody pointed out today, today is the 1 year anniversary of Horns Across the Hawthorne. It was 1 year ago today that we did Horns Across the Hawthorne. And I don't think you guys were actually in on this meeting, but when Susan Reynolds and I were having the initial meetings about Horns Across the Hawthorne, we were terrified that we were going to be doing Horns Across the Hawthorne and they were going to decide to start lifting the bridge on us. And they were going to kick us all off the bridge or some goddamn boat could come through. That did not happen, though, thank God. So our father below, as C.S. Lewis would say, prevented that from happening. So, all right, here's Tim Riley.
So 12 buses will cross the river. On Broadway.
On Broadway.
During the bridge lift, the Max riders may need to board an airport shuttle bus in Old Town, just to make it easy for you.
Just so you can all be packed into an even smaller space with a bunch of people who smell of weak old anchovies.
And the worst part is, thunderstorms could ruin it all.
Oh.
So that's in the forecast.
Fantastic. It's going to be the best day ever.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that Washington County sex master, shall we? The Washington County grand jury has found Vance Roberts guilty of keeping two sex slaves in his Hillsborough home.
The Washington County sex master.
Mm-hmm. Roberts and his half-brother, Paul Jackson, were accused of picking up a prostitute in November 1988 and doing naughty things to them in their pickup truck. They then took her home and they chained her up for a week. This happened in 1988.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's just, I don't mean to laugh about...
But it's a lunch hour, and children are listening. The children's parade is being held, so they're home listening.
I don't mean to be...
I'm trying to edit myself, and...
Don't edit yourself.
Well, I'm trying to do a family-friendly newscast here.
I think if we all know that's not going to work. I'm sorry. There's just too much... There's too much content in this news.
Mm-hmm. The two used a stun gun and handcuffs on another woman in June 1980. Roberts and Jackson were building a soundproof room to contain the woman, but she was able to break a window to escape.
I think the phrase that got me is when you said doing naughty things to her in their pickup truck. Mm-hmm. And then they picked up a hooker in 1988.
Yeah. Why is this coming to light now?
Well, how long was she the victim of the sex masters?
A week.
Oh, well, you know.
And they had a stun gun and handcuff. I didn't know stun guns went back that far.
So let's be honest. So the only real problem here is that they just weren't paying her enough. I mean, if she's a hooker, if you're paying a hooker, I don't know how much hookers go for these days. But if you're paying a hooker and you pay her, whatever, $100 for an hour.
They said they were paying her $200 a day to be a sex slave.
Well, you know.
I don't know what the going rate is.
Well, back then,
with inflation figured in.
I guess the fiscal rise in hooker renting, maybe. Well, whatever. So, anyway, blah, blah, blah. The creepy and great part about the story is how they were busy building a soundproof room.
Yeah.
Was it two brothers?
Brother and his half-brother.
See,
that's full brothers.
That's what makes me creeped out. The whole thing is the brother and the half-brother. Because that's a whole lot of get the gimp out of the trunk is what that is. All right.
Well, Washington County is looking for a man responsible for attacking a man with an axe. In the store parking lot of Winco.
Let me ask you this.
The victim is being treated at OHSU for a fractured skull. They said he was conscious and breathing. They had a report of a fight between two men in the Winco parking lot at 11,000. This address is definitely wrong. At 111,250 Southeast 82nd.
1,000,000 Southeast Gleason.
Well, that was the report that they were responding to, and fortunately, they were able to find it, given that wrong address.
That's fantastic.
They were able to chase down the axe man.
The axe, I'm going to start calling myself now, not the cut man. I used to be the cut man, now I'm going to be the axe man.
Mm-hmm.
So now, is it true?
Oh, they were unable to track him down.
Oh, so he's just out running around.
He's a bald man with a goatee, about 6 foot, 5 foot six, 150 pounds. The last seen wearing a white shirt.
And carrying an axe. So, but as I understand it now, the guy who got axed was trying to break up a fight between the axe man and someone else?
No.
Oh, that's what...
There are only two people involved here.
Oh, really? Now, see, because the news guy, the guy from Coin, I won't name him because apparently he got the story really wrong.
Somebody has the story wrong.
The guy from Coin this morning claimed that there were two dudes fighting. A third dude tries to break up the fight, and for his troubles, he gets an axe in the head.
He was just axing for trouble, wasn't he?
Yes. Yes, he was. He couldn't... Oh, wait, no. It was the blade or the handle. I was going to say he couldn't handle the... I don't know where I'm going with that. So there's just two guys, and then one of them... This story makes no sense at all. The address is wrong.
The address is wrong.
The particulars keep changing. Where are you getting this? Is it from KGW? Tell me it is.
Yes.
Really? Oh, that's so fantastic. Which means that not only is there... Okay, now I have to know where it is. Can you give me the URL?
KGW.com.
Is that the full... Is it just...
You'll find it. It's the top story.
I just want... Now I have to look for grammatical errors as well. So the address is wrong, the particulars keep changing, and here's why it doesn't make any sense that it would just be two guys fighting it out.
Let's see what, I have another version here. Let's go to the Oregon Live version.
I'm just saying, if you were fighting with a guy, like, if you saw a guy standing there with an axe, why would you ever pick a fight with
okay,
him?
Now, according to the Oregon Live one, let's see, Clackamas County authorities responded around 2 a.m. to a fight involving two men at the Harmony Inn. A half hour later, one of the men involved in the fight attacked another man as he walked in the Winco parking lot.
So much.
The victim, police said, had intervened in the earlier altercation in the bar.
There's so much in the story to work with, like the fact that they're at the Harmony Inn.
Yeah.
All right. This story is by Wilson Chow from the. Oh, you know why this is such a badly reported story.
Why?
Even though this is on the it's the confluence of all bad journalism. It's on the KGW.com site, and it's written by somebody from the Northwest News Channel.
Oh.
I'm looking at it right here. That's from the NWCN. That's the Northwest Cable News staff, right?
Yeah. Oh, he's interviewed me before.
Really? Did he get your name wrong? Did he identify?
I didn't watch it. Huh. It's Northwest News Channel.
You know what? The only time you watch that is if you're at a hotel or something.
I've not more than 5 minutes.
I heard when Likas was stuck in Alaska for that lawsuit a couple years ago, Likas was up there in Alaska for a lawsuit, and he did this whole monologue about how he's stuck in a hotel room, and he got three channels.
The most boring channel in the world.
One of the channels he got was the in-room hotel thing. Our courteous and efficient staff is able to serve you, gruel 24 hours a day. That one, and then he got the ABC affiliate, that was the other channel. And then the third channel was the Northwest News Channel. And he said he was just fascinated by the Northwest News Channel.
Well, they replay, they loop 1 hour over and over again. And they don't interrupt it unless there's an assassination somewhere.
So it's like news from 2 weeks ago as done by high school students. Clackamas County Sheriff's deputies are looking for a man responsible for attacking another man with an axe in a Southeast Portland grocery store parking lot. Treated for a fractured skull. Deputies responded to a fight between two men at the Winco Foods parking lot. This is so great. This really is the definitive Southeast Portland news story.
Yes, it is.
At 111,250. There's no way that that's right. Southeast 82nd Boulevard.
That would stretch into Idaho, wouldn't it? I know 82nd is a long street. It goes for about 30 miles. But that would stretch 82nd into
Clackamas, Maine.
And who would want to stretch 82nd even further than it already is?
There's no such thing as too much 82nd.
No, there isn't.
Authorities said he was described as an... Here we go again. An Hispanic male.
Hispanic man.
Okay, see, you say that because... I can't believe this phrase is leaving my mouth. Because you use the English language correctly most of the time.
Yes.
An Hispanic male. WTF, as the kids say. Estimated to be 25 years old, balding with a goatee. He was 5'6", blah, 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 blah. You're never going to catch him. Investigators were not sure why the men got into a fight. Maybe it's just because they woke up and realized they were at the Harmony Inn near a Winco in Clackamas. And, really, there's no way that you can make your life any worse in that situation. So you might as well just start swinging an axe randomly and see what kind of fun you can make. Oh, fantastic. Let's see. We get this email from, Rick. Hey, these little kids are going to be marching in my backyard, little bastards. Says, come on, Portland gets a rose parade and the Hollywood District gets some snot-nosed kids pulling their radio flyers and dingy-ass stuffed animals. What the hell? P.S. I go home just as the bridge lift begins. Best day ever. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Here's Tim Riley.
A fellow and three juveniles have been arrested after police say they stepped to try on the priest robes that they stole from two Salem churches. They were seen breaking into the First United Methodist Church on State Street after stealing some miscellaneous items, including a ceramic set of prayer hands. The suspects walked into St. Joseph's Catholic Church and broke in there as well.
Wait, where is this?
Salem.
Oh, okay. All right.
A known transient, 26-year-old Wayne Allen Smith, along with three juvies, all age 16, stole three priest robes and a bottle of sacramental wine. Police caught them heading up to the Capitol Mall Park where they were arrested as they were trying on the priest clothes.
That's so great. How do you even form that plan in your head?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
Salem.
We could rob a 7-Eleven. We could go hang out at a porn store. Or, I know, let's go to a church, steal some priest robes and a set of ceramic hands, and then go try it all on at the park in broad daylight. That's fantastic. My mom had a set of those ceramic prayer hands, by the way. Oh, wait, hold on. Let's get this. Welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. That was the wrong one. No, that was that played the wrong. Our former, godlike former program director, Bruce Agler. Hello, sir.
Good afternoon. I kind of like that one with the hot talk show.
Yeah, it's like a minute and a half long, though. I got to edit it down.
I see. Well, actually, I called to assist you on the bridge list, but first, I was thinking that crime that you just described, that sounds like a young Rick Emerson in Kennewick.
Oh, stealing the priest robes?
Yeah, 16-year-old going to the church to get the sacramental wine. And
I didn't. When I was in high school, I stole a box of graduation gowns for no real reason.
Now, that's pretty close.
Yeah, that's so I did do something, and I was never caught for that, by the way. I did do something very similar to that. And it's one of those crimes that you do when you're a kid that you can't even... Later, you have no idea why you... Why did I steal a box of graduation gowns? What was I going to do with them? Was I going to stitch a hot air balloon out of it? There's no reason why I should have done that, and yet I did.
Well, at least you weren't trying them on in the city park for the cops to come by and see.
No,
there's a young man getting ready to graduate.
It just doesn't make any sense. It's a crime that makes no sense at all. Yeah.
Did you return them, or were they short? So you're at your graduation, there were some kids who didn't get a gown?
Yes, it's all my fault. I stole a box of gowns. I gave them then to an underclassman friend of mine. I don't know what he did with them. They might still be in his basement in Kennewick, for all I know.
I was going to assist you on the bridges there. You needn't worry. None of the ships are going as far south as the Hawthorne, so you're fine with that.
Where do they come from?
Well, they come from up the river from the ocean. And
says as though speaking to a retarded boy.
And so they have to open the Broadway Bridge. They have to open the Steel Bridge. And for at least one of the ships coming today, I guess all the ships today, they also open the Burnside Bridge.
All
but
right,
that's
okay.
As far as they go. They don't go past the Morris.
Fantastic. Well, that's excellent. See, that's good news. Now, they could just keep those stupid pirate ships from going underneath the Hawthorne Bridge like 100 times a day.
Well, now, yeah, I'm not telling you that the Hawthorne won't be open because, you know, there will be pirate ships and the Portland Spirit and who knows what else. But at least none of the Rose Fleet is going to impact you in any way. And when the ships come, it's a great time because it's about the only time of year they ever open the Steel Bridge, and it's just fun to watch them open the Steel
Bridge.
Well,
it's fun as long as you're not on it. If you're somewhere downtown or, like, on the Hawthorne Bridge watching that bridge go up, that's pretty great.
Yeah.
The Steel Bridge. Hey, I may have asked you this before. Why is it that they have to lift a bridge for the Portland Spirit?
Well, they normally don't. It depends on how high the tide is.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, when the tide is at a certain level, they'll open it, and then usually it goes through, and you look and you say, gee, it looks like they would have had plenty of room, but I take it they probably just have some guide from the Coast Guard. You know, when the tide is over so many feet, they just automatically do it.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right.
But yeah, usually it looks like it would clear even if they didn't open it. Most of the time, they don't.
It's just infuriating. All right, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Bruce Agler, godlike former
KLTK
program director. Fantastic. Thank you, sir. All right. Oh, I see. In a few minutes here, we'll talk to John, who played the part of Tim Riley today at OMSI's Body Worlds 3. The best part was he had a calamity he wore that said, Tim, in quotation marks. And so nobody batted an eye. All right. Rick, I can shed some light on the sex master. That is the best. I want that on my business card. Washington County sex master. Apparently that's taken. I'll have to be the Multnomah County sex master. Rick, I can shed some light on this. While visiting my parents, I was captive for their Rabbit America's Most Wanted viewing, and the sex master and his brother were featured. I wonder if the brothers have said that he's not the sex master. He's sort of a sex apprentice. He's a sex journeyman. He's a sex padawan. And his brother was featured on it a few weeks back. Apparently, it's only salient now because one of them turned himself in as to no explanation as to why he would do such a thing. Maybe he was missing Hillsborough. Anyway, they got the hooker in the car under the pretense of paying her and did not. She escaped, and the two were arrested. Their miscreant mother bailed them out, and they disappeared. She says, I shall now hide my shame for knowing this from a show that caters to the fears of the old and the toothless. Signed, Christine. Thank you, Christine. All right, here's Tim Riley.
A man in a sleeping bag was run over and killed by a brush cutter clearing blueberry bushes at a highway project in South Seattle. Isaac Palmer was killed under I-5 near Massachusetts Street when a subcontractor was preparing the site for an expensive joint replacement. The transient was dead of massive head trauma.
Oh, right over the head.
Mm-hmm.
A brush cutter.
A brush cutter.
And, you know, those brushes, they've got, like, those brambles and blackberry tangles. Those are thick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's like they chop up, you know, the huge branches the size of your arm in that thing.
Yeah.
And homeless people, apparently.
Well, they had started clearing the area. So far, they had removed human waste and needles of drug paraphernalia, but they hadn't succeeded in moving all the transients before they started the lawnmower.
Let's be honest. Before they started the lawnmower. The news today, I don't know whether the news is especially funny or whether I'm just giddy from lack of sleep and being exposed to tumor-filled livers today at Bozzy World 3, but the news is full of little word gems that are just hilarious to me. A whole lot of things that you don't want in a news story about your life. Phrases like, before they started the lawnmower, they had failed to inspect it. Anyway, Rick, isn't this an attack? Let's see. Oh, he's been talking about the axe attack. Isn't this the third attack at a discount or big box store in the last month? Like the guy at the Fred Meyer is punching kids in the face or whatever. All of these a-holes who are afraid to come downtown for fear of being mugged will not have to stay away from Walmart, Joe's, Kmart, Winco, et al. Says this email. Yes, it is true. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Let's quickly do this. Let's talk to our good friend John, who played the part of Tim Riley today at OMSI Body World 3. Hello, sir.
Good afternoon.
How did you find Body World 3 to be?
Well, you know, from walking into the exhibit and seeing the gentleman holding his entire body skin suit in the upraised right hand.
See, you summed it up much better than I did. I gave a long, rambling explanation, and I couldn't really make myself clear. But, yeah, it is like they peeled off your skin in one complete motion and leaving it intact, and then you just sat there and like held it in your hand.
Yeah, and then, you know, ending up with the double hump camel, it's all sectioned and displayed.
Yeah,
you know, wow,
it's amazing. And did you have the same thing that we all have, where you were trying to, like, you had to sort of remind yourself that it was all real, because it just, you want to, you, your brain automatically thinks it's like a wax dummy.
Yeah, you look at it and it's like, this can't be real. I mean, you know, back in the past, you almost had to be like the Green River Killer or Jack the Ripper to see how bodies are all put together. But, you know, like for $21, you can see it right there now.
So you no longer have to be a serial killer of Northwest prostitutes.
Exactly.
The sorts of things that only Gary Ridgway and Ted Bundy were previously able to see.
They can
now be yours for a mere $20.
That's a heck of a deal. I do have to just say, you know, it was really fascinating. You need a bit of a strong stomach to do it. And so I just want to say straight up, Tim, thank you so much for having a girly stomach.
I don't know what that means.
It's a compliment in a strange sort of way, I would imagine.
Girly.
No, he's for being perhaps having a constitution that was not that would not allow you to sit through the. He just means your svelte figure.
There you go.
He just means that you're.
I was just thinking too hard.
You're looking trimmer than ever, is what.
If you met me, Tim, you'd realize that thinking does not involve, you know, conversing with me. So.
And John's a larger man than you are. So that's the no. Here's for. Okay. Now, real quickly. Now, did you find it to be did it make you queasy? Did you find it that it unsettled your stomach in any way? Because people have asked me if they can go through if they're going to hurl.
You know, it's really a personal kind of a thing. You know, you spin me around in circles, I'm going to want to hurl. But looking at all of that stuff, I found it just fascinating. The intricacies of a body, how it's put together and how everything hooks together, it absolutely amazes me.
I didn't find it, I mean, I didn't feel sick at any point. I mean, some of it's a little weird.
I did, with all the arterial connections, that kind of started to make me feel a little nauseous.
Yeah, that was...
At one point, and then I was fine after I wandered around a little bit.
Yeah, I think that I think they start strong. They start again with that guy holding his own skin, and if you can make it past that, I think you can make it past most of the things in there. There was this one display, and again, I'm not spoiling anything because I can't possibly do it justice. There's this one display where it was a how do I put this? It is as though they've taken a body and, like, looking straight at a person straight on. If you just split them right down the middle between the eyes, and then you sort of section them aside, except that it was like a morbidly obese person, and it was a whole lot of like, hundreds of pounds of subcutaneous fat. You know, it was just, welcome to the lunch hour. It was really, you walk out of there resolving to eat nothing but salads for the next year.
Yeah, and it's cut all the way down, like, through the foot.
Yeah, no.
You can see this guy's body all the way down, like, through his toe. It's like a slab of him.
There's fat ankles.
Yeah, I walked right past the coffee cake on the way out of there. I just,
That's the best part, is because it was a meeting exhibit, there was a big tray of pastries outside. So I'm, you know, shoving coffee cake in my face, then I go, the first thing I see is, like, a big fat fat corpse. All right, excellent. So, well, thanks for going. Thanks for calling in. And then we will see you on Friday. You'll come in and do some stories in the new news hour with us, sir.
Outstanding. I look forward to it.
Thank you. There you go. There's John, who has won the chance to be Tim Riley for a day and a half. All right, fantastic.
There you go. It wasn't a big bad corpse holding up a tray of pastries.
No, they should.
Help yourself.
No, they totally should do that at the next one. They should completely have that where you can, it's just a corpse holding up, you know, like a, whatever, just holding like a bunch of pamphlets or something to get on the way in. It really, that was the one part that really did freak me out. That and, where they, again, just, they would do this thing where they had like normal liver and then, you know, it's like fill in the blank. Normal, blank, and then blank, covered with tumors. I mean, there was a whole lot of cancer going on at that place.
No.
All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, Bob Barker is probably the second biggest story today, as he taped his final Price Was Right. Outside Studio 33, that's Television City in Beverly Hills, Philip Barron of Tampa, Florida, and his wife, Phoebe, were the first two in line. They've been waiting outside the gate since Saturday afternoon.
Put it this way, I'm so excited, I'm ready to burst out of my skin, but, I'll be ready for the big show today.
She'll be part of an OMSI exhibit.
I'm burst out of my skin and be stared at by morning DJs at OMSI.
Joel, visiting from New York, is not too optimistic about the show's future after Bob Barker leaves.
I don't think it'll go anymore. I think it'll go like a year longer and then be done or something like that. I don't think it'll survive.
Oh, that's pessimist. No, that's true. That show's going to last forever. They make so much damn money on that show. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's one of those things you don't really realize as a kid. You just sort of sit there and you're like, maybe kids today realize it. When I was a kid, I didn't even really notice when they would talk about, yeah, they mentioned because everything's brand names. You know, how much do you suppose this can of Campbell's soup? How much is this for the box of Tide? And you don't really realize that those companies are paying for all of that.
Yeah.
I remember the moment as, I don't know, I was probably 10 or 11 when my dad explained to me that every time you would see a name brand, you're going to win a brand new, whatever, Cutlass Sierra or whatever, the, you know, some car or whatever. And you know, and then a company had paid to have that product there and paid to have their name or their logo put up, and it all clicked together in my head how much money that show must make. And by the way, is this a thing that's, I don't watch a lot of game shows. Is this a thing that still happens? Do they still, what was the deal with every game show giving away Rice-A-Roni? Like,
or Cremettes.
Or Cremettes. Do they even still sell Cremettes?
I don't know, but Rice-A-Roni is no longer the San Francisco treat for some reason. It's been removed from the cable cars, and there's no mention of the box of Rice-A-Roni that has anything to do with San Francisco.
I wonder if that's because they don't want to be associated with San Francisco values.
Oh, Nancy Pelosi?
That's what it is. I wonder if they I bet they did. I will guarantee you this. I wonder if they focus-grouped Rice-A-Roni.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I've never had Rice-A-Roni. I don't even know what it is.
Oh, it's a San Francisco treat.
I thought that was...
It is
the cheapest joke. This is where my roots as a morning show person. I don't even.
It's the hamburger helper of rice.
I'm sure they'd love to. I thought the San Francisco treats were Bryce and Tony. Ha 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 ha. I had to say it. It was just there, just sitting in my head.
Oh.
Waiting to get out. It was just going to sit there and nag at me if I didn't say it. The hamburger helper of rice. You know, that's another thing. Can I just tell you this? And I know this makes me bad white trash.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had hamburger helper. Ever. And I know that's un-American. I know coming from Kennewick, Washington, and being a DJ for most of my life, I should have eaten thousands of boxes of either Rice-A-Roni or Hamburger Helper now. I've never had either of those. So, anyway. Well, there was some, but Cremettes, Rice-A-Roni, God, what else? What else were they just giving away? Literally just by the cubic ton they were giving away. It didn't matter whatever game show you watched. Could have been the Price is Right. Could have been Card Sharks. Didn't matter. Our departing contestants, read losers, will get hundreds of boxes of Rice-A-Roni and Cremettes. And then it would, you know, and then like a box of Kleenex or something. It didn't make any sense at all.
All right. No.
Well, in any event. So there's the Price is Right. It's going to run forever. They'll never get rid of that.
A new poll says the head of The Sopranos should be allowed to survive Sunday night's series finale. Dr. Peter Woolley of the Fairleigh Dickinson University, wherever this is.
Fairleigh Dickinson? Mm-hmm. How Dickinson is he?
Fairleigh. Says a survey shows most people who watch The Sopranos want the New Jersey Don to survive the hit put on him by his rivals in New York.
People have a certain degree of sympathy for Tony Soprano. They want this guy to live. By 2-1 in New Jersey and by 2-1 in the national survey as well, of people who have watched the show, they would prefer that Tony live rather than die.
Now he'll live.
He's a doctor.
Yeah,
he gets paid to do this.
In New Jersey.
They won't, well, a doctor in New Jersey. What is that really except for digging up bullet holes and stitching up, you know, knife wounds? That's really all that is. Just tagging.
Trying to retrieve corpses from blocks of cement.
You say it's just a lot of toe tagging. Just dragging the Hudson for feet. No, they won't kill Tony. Tony will live. We'll talk about this more on Friday as we approach the season and series finale, The Sopranos. In my estimation, I don't know anything that you don't know, but in my professional estimation as a pundit, they will not be killing off Tony Soprano. He, in fact, will live. We got this email from Todd the Corpse. How ironic. We totally ought to give, I'm not going to, but we really ought to give Todd the Corpse a pair of tickets just so we can see real corpses, him and Mrs. Corpse. Rick, how strange. I just finished eating some rice-a-roni for lunch. It is basically just different flavors of rice. I had chicken. Thanks for asking. Okay, there you go. That's Todd the Corpse. Here's Tim Riley.
Most people think The Soprano Show is not real.
Most people say it's just a story. We do find there are people who have their doubts, and that's pretty interesting, too. So about 1 in 5, whether in New Jersey or nationally, say, no, they think actually it's pretty realistic and does depict the way things are.
Yeah, okay. Back to Everett we go for the story of the paper mill that is emitting strong rotten egg odors. Kimberly Clark's Everett Pulp Mill has been, it's been giving up some rotten egg odors and something must be done. So therefore, the State Department of Ecology has issued a $16,000 fine.
There was a chemical imbalance in the system, and they chose to drain out these chemicals that are used for making the wood into pulp into an open basin at their wastewater treatment plant on their facility.
This is in Everett?
Yes, Everett.
Oh, yeah, $16,000. It's like a $100 million company.
Yeah.
And that'll show them. That's $16,000. You know, if you really want to get them clean up their act, have the FCC start regulating paper mills. They really will get some action then. I don't know if the last time any of you have gone through a town where that is entirely based around the paper industry. Goddamn to those
towns.
Camas is like that. God, I want to say, what is that town you pass through? You're staying in the gorge. There's some little town there. I forget what it even is. I used to pass through as a kid with my parents. God damn, those old towns just sound like the inside of a fetid sock. I mean, it's just awful. It really is like you're just living inside, it's like you're just living inside a decaying sea otter. I mean, it's just terrible.
20% of people who take vacations bring their laptops with them. 1 in 5 people toted laptop computers on the most recent vacations, according to a recent poll. Along with 80% said they brought along their cell phones. The survey shows going on vacation no longer means being out of the electronic loop. Sizable numbers are interrupting their unwinding time to check into the office, even more so to keep up on social buzz. 1 in 5 said they did some work while vacationing. About the same number checked office messages to see how things were going. Twice as many checked their email, about 50%, and kept up with their personal messages like voicemail.
Now, I have that, Motorola Q I have, and this is the reason I don't have a laptop. Because it does just enough that I don't have to have it. Like, I can access the internet with it, and I can get my email, and whatever. But I don't have to, speaking of which, so I was at the, I can't believe I'm saying this. So I was at the Apple store yesterday.
Oh, were you?
Yes, I was.
I was there the day before.
Sure you were. Sure you fit right in. It's a bunch of smug people with perfect teeth.
I was there waiting for the store to open with another line of people actually sitting out there.
Oh, man. It was a living hell. It was like having my body set on fire and then having it put out with a sledgehammer. It was just I got this new MP3 player, which is not an iPod, but there is an iPod accessory.
Oh, it's an iPod.
Or it's... It basically is. It's an iPod without the Apple logo, I'll be honest. Do you have an iPod?
I do.
Okay, well, in the next break, I'll actually bring it down here so you can look at it, so you can see how stunningly like, I mean, even I'll admit to that, how stunningly like an iPod it really is. I mean, and just so much so that when you look at it, like at any moment now, I expect it, like, to add it to my MP3 player playlist, I expect there to be music, videos, slideshow, lawsuit. Just click here to see the latest about how your player is being sued by Apple. But there's an iBook accessory that is the same as the accessory for my... In other words, there's an accessory I need to hook my MP3 player to my television. And rather than buying it online, I was just going to get it to the Apple store because Apple makes a thing that works for it. So I go into the Apple store downtown, and of course, you know, it's at whatever that mall is, the...
Pioneer Place.
Pioneer Place Mall, which is difficult because it's in like 9 different buildings. It's like CBS Radio.
Yeah, and the underground, too.
Yeah, and I get lost in that mall and I can never figure out. I've been here for 10 years. I can never figure out how to get out of that goddamn mall. So I'm wandering around. I go into the Apple store, and of course you can tell you're in an Apple store because it's spacious and there's like recessed mood lighting and everything's made out of like beautiful blonde teak wood.
It makes you feel special being an Apple user.
Yes, it does.
You don't find that in a Windows store.
No, you don't. Here's what you do find in the Apple store. A lot of perfectly featured, flawlessly skinned employees who are dressed like they just came out of an Abercrombie catalog who stand around a lot looking smarter than you. And then of course, and I know that it sounds like I've disproportionate and anger about this, but god damn it, I just feel so ugly and stupid when I go into an Apple store. I just feel like I'm not quite smart enough and not quite attractive enough to be in there. And I swear to god, maybe this is just me, but I'm willing to bet that if you have ever gone into an Apple store and you're not an Apple user, like if you've gone in there with somebody who has an iPod or an Apple or whatever, or if you're in there looking around, maybe considering entering the Apple world, I swear to you, I'm standing in the Apple store last night, and here's a couple of sensations. First of all, you realize, and I do mean this in an honest way, I do mean this sincerely, Apple has great aesthetic taste. They do have a great sense of how to make something look beautiful. They really do. I would never deny that. Ever, ever, ever. Steve Jobs and the guys at Apple, they do make beautiful, stylish, very, very aesthetically appealing products.
Their New York store is judged as one of the finest buildings in New York.
It's amazing. I mean, it wasn't like the Apple. Like, they had some. It was something stupid and great that only Apple would do. Like, literally, it's like the display table or something that they show the iPod on was designed by I.M. Pei or whatever. It's just some world-renowned architect they brought in to literally make, like, he literally spent, like, a year designing, like, a bookcase or something that they show an iPod on at the store. But you go in there, and it's just, you just immediately feel like you're in the middle of some art gallery because it's an Apple store. And I swear to God, while I'm standing there waiting for one of the impeccably dressed but, you know, just, like, carefully scruffed-up employees to help me, I actually started feeling self-conscious about the way I was dressed. I'm standing in the Apple store, and I just had my basic Joey Ramone up, and I was just my chucks and my jeans and a T-shirt. And I swear to God, I felt like I wasn't dressed well enough to be in the store. I really was just sitting there going, "Oh God, I had to go to the Gap and buy something better before I could come back to the Apple store." And so you walk into the Apple store, and it's just, you know, it's a typical computer store. And they get everything on display and whatever. And then at the back, there's a counter where you can take your product and you can sign up to have, like, a little personal assistance.
The Genius Bar.
That's, God damn it, that's exactly it.
You can sign up online.
That's exactly it. That's just so Apple, and it's so great and infuriating all at once that you can either go in and find the product yourself, or if you need to have a little personal one-on-one assistance with maybe your Apple product, yeah, you go and you sign up, and in big letters it says, Genius Bar. And you just stand there, and it has. And I got there too late, and there was literally a big flashing sign that said, "We're sorry, there are no more Apple Geniuses available today.
You've been terminated.
Come back tomorrow." Like, what other company would have the temerity to do that? "I'm sorry, we don't have any more Geniuses available to assist you today." And then I ended up not even having the thing I was looking for, and I just left all angry. I just left feeling ugly and ashamed.
You can look for it online before you go down.
I know. Just saying.
Apple.com, go to the store.
The whole thing, just when you walk into an Apple store, I know that people think that I am maybe disproportionately neurotic about this, but I don't think I'm the only one to have this experience. Going into the Apple store for me, and this revisits a discussion we had a few weeks ago, is a lot like shopping on Northwest 23rd. It is scientifically designed to hone, refine, and magnify any small sense of inferiority that you may have inside your body.
I just had dessert there the other night.
See? And that works for you. You know why? It's sort of like, you know what it is? It's like at Disneyland. If you ride one ride, your ticket is good at another ride across the park. I think it's like if you shop at the Apple store, they give you some weird internal ticket that allows you to eat on Northwest 23rd and you can feel fine about it.
Well, I ate here before I went to the Apple store.
Oh, see, well, but it works both ways.
Yes.
You know, you go into the Apple store and it's sort of like, oh, you just came from Northwest 23rd. You will feel at ease here. I didn't feel at ease in either of those places. You take me to that Moonbeam Chocolate place on 23rd, I feel like a tool. You take me to the Apple store, I feel ugly and underdressed. Jesus. All right. We should bring... Oh, it's like... It's,
there
it's
are some mean people on 23rd that will rob you.
Really?
Yeah.
On Northwest 23rd?
Yeah. They're always a bunch of troublemakers hanging out on the street where the FedEx Kinko's store is.
I have no idea.
Yeah, apparently there's some place where ne'er-do-wells can live, and they hang around the sidewalk there.
I thought they bust all the mean people out to my neighborhood. I thought they rounded them up and air-dropped them into Southeast. Hey, we'll take a break, come back after this. More of Tim Riley ahead later on, Mr. Skin, Scotty J's Top 5 Body Songs, and more. It's the Rick Emerson Show. You stay there. Radio program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. All right, so I'm going to walk. I have to show you this. Let me turn on my mic. Zen Vision M.
So what the heck does that mean?
It's, you can laugh at it.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the same thing.
Yeah. So it's an iPod.
It's an iPod.
Who am I fooling? I won't lie about that.
It's close to being a real one.
Thanks. Thanks so much. The let me just say, let's see if I can just play this here. Hold on, if I can.
Does it play?
Yes, it does. Hey, Sarah, can you, I'm going to put this at the mic. I don't know if this will play or not. So. It's an episode of Futurama, which I loaded on here. I spent like an extra hour finding an episode of Futurama and loading it. It's coming out of my headphones, so that's why it's so quiet. But just so you can hear, so look, just so I could watch something on it, justify the fact that it plays video.
Oh, that's pretty decent size.
It is. It's actually, you know, they actually make a one. When Lo was here, he has the Vision W, which is actually like twice this. That's a pretty big screen. But this one is, you know, like it's just video. I have to use it for something. So, you know, so the next time I'm on a plane, rather than reading a book or expanding my consciousness in some way, I'll be sitting there watching like Dumb and Dumber on like a 2x2 screen.
When you should be reading the Sky Mall.
Yes, again, when I should be doing the John Lennon thing of reading the Sky Mall and just saying, and just calling up and going, I'll have the lot. I'll just get one call about the Apple story here and then we'll move on. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hello.
Hello.
I get that same feeling every time I go downtown or into that mall. I mean, it's just well-dressed, money-having people that, you know, and it makes
where
me
do
feel
you
uncomfortable.
Where is your home base, sir? Where do you live?
Take a wild guess. South, I live in Southeast.
Southeast.
Zing.
Yeah, so, see, so you and I are, we're much the same, you and I, so.
Yes.
But occasionally
it brings out my hate for people, it does, you know, and I try really hard to love everybody and to give everybody a chance,
oh,
but there are some people that are just like,
I no longer do that, but no, it is, sometimes you just have to, and the ironic thing is, how you and I feel about going down to that mall or going to Northwest 23rd or the Apple Store is exactly how people on Northwest 23rd or, I don't know, in the suburbs feel about Southeast. You don't want to go there, but sometimes there's just something there you need, and you have no choice.
Exactly. Oh, man. And, you know,
every time I remember
broken
glass.
That's where you kind of love them, too, is because they're going through the same thing. It may be a little bit backwards, but, you know.
Yeah. Sometimes I run out of broken glass and roadkill. I'm always tempted to
sometimes,
go by myself.
Yeah, sometimes you just have to buy crack. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. I don't have any, yeah, no, I got nothing. All right. That's pretty much it. Where's my cherry-flavored meth? All right, here's Tim Riley.
Dented mustard-colored cars from the early 70s.
Oh, good times. All right, here's Tim Riley, ladies
and
gentlemen.
Well, TMZ has learned that Paris Hilton did, have to undergo a cavity search as part of her booking process at the jail. Humiliation at its finest.
Yeah.
No word yet if they found any cavities during the exploration.
Fantastic. That is so great. I wonder if...
Where's the womp-womp?
No, I don't... I didn't have
womp
it.
Womp.
Hey, hold on.
Yeah.
He had his whole line at the same time.
No word if they found any cavities. A cavity search. That is pretty funny, actually. In fact, to the it's so funny that I wonder why
I
never
heard that one in the Apple Store.
Jerk. In a special, you know, an Apple Store where they have like special. I bet that the air in that store is actually like piped in from secret air canisters in the back. Mm. The air in there is just a little bit sweeter. The water tastes a little bit sparklier. That's such a great joke about finding cavities. I wonder why I've never had a dentist who's done that. I wonder why I've never had some sort of wacky jackhole dentist. Now we're going to do a cavity search. I wonder if giving Paris Hilton a cavity search. If they either sort of competed for that or if they competed to not have to do it. I wonder which it was. Whether, you know, I wonder if that's wonder really whether that's a job duty you'd want. Right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, from last night's rather boring Republican debate, Rudy Giuliani kept things light as technical difficulties arose in Manchester. Wolf Blitzer blamed the technical problem on a lightning storm having an effect on the sound system.
For someone who went to parochial schools all his life, this is a very frightening thing that's happening right now.
Yeah, all right. Meanwhile, Rudy Giuliani said invading Iraq was the right thing to do.
Absolutely the right thing to do. It's unthinkable that you would leave Saddam Hussein in charge of Iraq and be able to fight the war on terror.
Yes. No, it's entirely thinkable that we would leave, that we would leave people in charge of, Saudi Arabia, Syria, North Korea. That's fine. We have no problem with that. Leave them there forever.
It's almost difficult to believe that Texas Congressman Ron Paul, who's also running for the same office, says the time to leave Iraq is now.
It was a mistake to go, so it's a mistake to stay. If we made the wrong diagnosis, we should change the treatment.
And then the same fellow says, this is from a Texan's mouth, gay should not be treated any differently than anybody else in the military.
Why,
people as groups, as they belong to certain groups, and that they derive their rights as belonging to groups. We don't get our rights because we're gays or women or minorities. We get our rights from our creator as individuals. So every individual should be treated the same way.
Well, that's not Republican talk. If somebody's going to be kicked out of the club. It is very interesting, by the way. Can you drop my mic level just a hair there?
Unsweeten it a bit.
It is. Can you de-sweeten? Can you bitterize my microphone, please? It is interesting, by the way, that how he phrases that.
Yeah.
That he says, you'll note that even though he is, and I know that he's a Texan, and I wonder if it actually hurts him physically to say things like that. Mm. Even though he is
a Texas Republican.
I wonder if he actually, like, if it's sort of like trying to bend your knee the other way, I wonder if it actually causes him physical pain to open his mouth and espouse equal rights for gays. Even though he is actually saying something like, well, women or minorities or gays should have equal rights, it's funny that he phrases it in such a way that it almost, if you weren't listening really close, like if you're some nitwit bigot.
Texan?
Yeah. Well, I didn't say that. That was all Texans work in Chinese restaurants. Speaking of Chinese restaurants, we actually have a real Chinese waiter story that we'll get to, and that I gave you.
Oh, I thought you were going to bring a real Chinese waiter in here.
No, I don't know any Chinese waiters. What are you? Oh.
What's wrong with Chinese waiters?
Nothing. I'm just saying
they're
I don't know
prompt.
Any.
And well-educated.
Mm-hmm. Some of them. Not all. Some of them are smart. Some of them are stupid. It's like all groups, right? Is that not true?
I'm not touching that.
No. I'm saying, like all groups, some of them are smart. Some of them... anyway, maybe we could ask one of the many Chinese employees here at CBS Radio Portland. But anyway... what was I saying? Blah, 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 Ron Paul, Texas. So, even though... What?
I just love watching you stick your foot further down your throat.
I don't even know. I'm not even listening to what I'm saying.
Okay.
What are you asking me?
I'm not asking anything.
All right. I'm saying, even though Ron Paul is opening his mouth and he is espousing equal rights, if you weren't listening really carefully and you were just some Texas nitwit, that might almost pass muster with you because he doesn't say what he really means, which is, we don't get our rights because we're straight white old men. He puts it in the context of, we don't get our rights because we are, you know, gay or, you know, women or the minorities or whatever. So it's very, you can tell he runs it through some internal Republican filter so it comes out correctly. All right.
Then there's this other fellow, Congressman Tom Trinquindo of Colorado. He says he has no use for President Bush in his White House.
I have been so disappointed in the president in so many ways since his, actually for the last several years, not just the immigration issue, but several other things, including the No Child Left Behind and the massive increase in government that we call prescription drug, Medicare prescription drug.
Yeah, I don't even understand, and please don't call me about it because I don't care. I don't even understand what many, No Child Left Behind, I don't even understand what that is. And I guess because I don't have kids and I'm not a teacher, therefore it doesn't matter to me.
Right.
I don't fall into, speaking of groups, I don't fall into either group that would care about that.
Right.
I have no offspring, nor do I teach at a public school. All I know is that every teacher I know despises that No Child Left Behind thing. And please don't feel like you have to send me an email explaining what it is, because here's the thing. You're going to put a lot of time, much like you do with the actual children you teach, you're going to spend a lot of time explaining something to a person who doesn't really care about it, will never pay attention to it, and will forget about it 5 minutes later.
The thing is, some kids can't be taught anything, and they will, in turn, fall into a tree threshing machine. In their adult world.
They will end up in Seattle, sleeping near a blackberry tangle, and they'll be run over by some sort of a city lawnmower. Right. That's it.
There are some people who just aren't worth bothering with.
Yeah. It really is true. And that's a thing that we don't like to say. We don't like to just come out.
Some children should be left behind.
Some children should
by
be.
By the roadside.
I was just going to say, on an ice floe, which is then kicked out into the open sea. So that really is to be dealt with by Serengeti predators. No one likes to admit that. No one likes to come out and say that there's like a 40% chance that your kid is a loser. But the fact of the matter is, you can't argue the statistics, my friend. I know that everybody likes to look at their kid and go, "Hey, my kid's a lot smarter than all the other children."
No,
you. You want to see the finger paintings he does of sludge or whatever. I mean, how many times have you gone through that? Look at this great painting of my idiot child. Except they don't say idiot child, my brilliant child. Look at this scrawl on a piece of paper that my child. You can almost tell what it is. You can see very clearly here. He's trying to replicate the work of Hieronymus Bosch. And really, it's just a bunch of crap that their idiot child has smeared onto a piece of paper before going off to suck paste out of a tube, you know, or to go exploring up inside one of their nostrils. So I want you to turn, if you're a parent, look at your child right now, turn and look at your child, or look at a photograph of your child, or think about your child. The odds are about 45%, loser, just so you know. I mean, just so you're aware of that. So you can start having another child right now to increase your odds of having at least one winner in the family.
You might as well send little Jimmy to go lie in the blueberry bushes right there.
Oh, I knew we were going to get this. Hello, hi, you're in the Rick Emerson Show.
I'm going to tell you what No Child Left Behind is.
All right.
Okay, briefly,
yeah.
No Child Left Behind is everything up until and including like 8th grade. If you didn't pass, say, the 6th grade, you're still going to the 7th. And they're just going to figure it out. And once you get into high school, that's where you start to get real screwed over No Child Left Behind as the student. Because if you can't read, well, they promoted you anyway, even though you weren't qualified to go to the next grade.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing. I don't even know that really matters. Look, Scotty can't read, and Scotty like a six-figure income as a realtor. So I think reading.
There's another dynamic to the No Child Left Behind.
Yeah.
This teacher that I know of. In a school in the Portland metro area, took the kids on a field trip, some high school students on a field trip to, I don't know, OMSI or the zoo or something.
Uh-huh.
And a couple of the kids were screwing off and didn't get to the bus. And she said, well, they'll just have to figure out how to get home. So she left them at the zoo.
Well,
and that was also in high school, not following the No Child Left Behind rule, because she actually just left them up at the zoo.
And they were eaten by animals.
As it should be. All right, thank you. All right, there you go.
Well, speaking of children, thousands of them will fill the streets of Northeast as the Junior Parade gets underway. They're going to be marching in bands, riding on floats, cruising on bikes, dancing,
great,
and walking with pets.
I can't wait to see. And you know what
down
this is going to be?
Sandy Boulevard.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Sandy Boulevard?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a favorite, apparently, among the youngsters.
I suppose, if you're just like one entire street filled with nothing but porn stores and staph infection. Okay, I'm getting a few emails now. Rick, why does CBS employ Chinese waiters? Please to be explaining. I don't think that was the implication at all. All right, maybe we do. I don't know. It is a big tent here. All right, here's Tim Riley.
And then we have Barack Obama. You may have heard about this. He said yesterday He warned of quiet riots among blacks in America. He made the speech in Virginia, of all places. He addressed the sense of hopelessness in the black community, which he said fueled the 1992 Los Angeles riots.
Not only do we still have the scars of the riots and the quiet riots that happen every day, but how in too many places all across the country, we haven't even bothered to take the bullet out.
Uh-oh. What? He lost me there at the end. Well, first of all,
do we still have the scars of the riots and the quiet riots that happen every day, but how in too many places all across the country, we haven't even bothered to take the bullet out.
Okay, first of all, I'm still stuck back on the quiet riot phrase. Clearly, he has no handler who told him to avoid that, because now all I'm picturing is this
quiet riot song.
Exactly.
Come on, feel the noise.
As our friend Nate Baker said, now I'm picturing is like Belle Biv DeVoe in a Hannibal Lecter mask. That's the black quiet riot. Yeah, I got nothing. So anyway, blah blah blah, taking the bullet out. I'm not even really sure what he's referencing there. I can't really listen to anything that he's actually saying, because I just am enraptured, as are all people, by the warm yet crisp timbre to his voice. So, all right, here's Tim Riley.
A man has been charged with breaking into a Denver home. While such accusations are made all the time, what 36-year-old Glenn House is suspected of doing during the alleged commission of the burglary is a bit unusual. The charge of second-degree burglary alleges that House broke into a home, helped himself to the beer in the fridge, and then slipped into a clean shirt from the dryer. He then allegedly sipped his beer and watched the resident and the resident's girlfriend in the bedroom. When the startled and annoyed resident chased him out of the house, he held the suspect till police arrived. Kim Kimbo of Denver's DA office said there is a harsh lesson to be learned here.
It serves as a warning this time of year that if you're going to leave windows open as the weather gets warmer, you want to be sure that your house is still burglary. To have someone break into your home and drink your beer and then wear your clothes and then watch you, you know, while you're in your bedroom is very unusual.
Yeah, do you think? Pardon me, can I come into your house and drink your beer and wear your clothes?
I wore a pair of stretch socks.
You know, this is one of those stories that will prompt every old person in the audience. Well, I remember when you could just go off and leave your front door unlocked. I don't believe that was ever true.
No.
And if it was true, it really is just because you weren't all that bright even then. When did people ever? I don't know, this mythical time when you could just go off and not lock anything in your home.
Oh, parents say that to their kids.
Seriously, when I could go off and just leave my entire bank account sitting on the hood of my car and leave it parked downtown. All right. Let's see. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
This is me.
Let me look.
Yes, it is. Thank God, I thought I was lost. Hey, you need to re-listen to that Barack Obama thing again. Did you catch that just sort of subtle southern nuance that came through on that? You know, I don't know if you ever heard him speak before, but, man, he's very eloquent, extremely well-spoken, master of the English language, and he was slipping in to the...
Thank you, Mr. Biden. What is it Joe Biden called him? Did he call him clean?
Yeah.
He's gone.
Oh, all right.
Well, I wasn't even listening to what you were saying. I was too busy making a Joe Biden joke. Do we even have that soundbite? I used to have that soundbite of Joe. Wasn't it Joe Biden? He's a very eloquent, clean candidate.
We might allow him at our country club.
No, I don't think Joe Biden's at that point yet. That's Joe Biden isn't quite ready to come that far. Let's see. What did we? Well, I don't know. He's from Illinois, though. I don't think he has any southern twang to his voice. Hillary. Though the weird thing is now. Ever since we had that soundbite of Hillary Clinton with a weird southern drawl to her voice, it's not that I really do now notice when she talks now that she just has a very neutral, blank accent most of the time. Let's see. People are sending me emails about their children. I don't care. No one. Quit sending me emails about how your children are really smart. No one believes you. It doesn't. Now here's the thing. It's not only...
Please send us JPEGs of their report cards.
Please to be sending us every single tiny, like, smushy doodle that they do, or everything that they've managed to mash together out of clay in art class, that you claim is an exact replica of, like, you know, a yellow-tailed, feather-bellied swallow. Not only is it probably not true, but here's the other thing. When you go to work, or when you go to whatever, your church, or your plate, wherever it is you gather, and you start telling your friends about something brilliant that your kid did, The friend automatically assumes that not only are you incorrect, but actually that the opposite is true, and that your child is a mouth-breathing tool user. The more you brag about your child being smart, the more that we assume you are overcompensating, and that your kid is at home right now, you're trying to eat a light bulb or something. So just be aware when you start talking about your children. Let's do one more here, then we'll take a little break.
An unidentified man jumped the barricade and tried to hop into the Pope mobile today, and the Pope was in it. It was making its way through St. Peter's Square. Father Jonathan Boris, who was at the Vatican, said the whole thing happened pretty fast.
What we know is that, first of all, Pope Benedict didn't seem even to be aware of this person who jumped on the Pope mobile, who had to jump over a barrier and then onto the Pope mobile.
I never get tired of that phrase.
I think
President could make a comeback if they start manufacturing Popemobiles.
I would totally drive one. We should talk for the next listener party, next listener event. We're totally putting you in a Popemobile, Tim.
That'd be great.
You do the queen wave inside. You just do the whole, the little Queen Elizabeth II, you know, we are not amused wave. It's like a big rolling thing of glass.
In some place where we used to put cash in it.
A Popemobile?
Well, you could put that whole cash thing, the cash cube, up on top of a car.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, we had it at the Lister party.
Nobody.
We put like $5 in it. And the people, they could grab it. It was impossible.
Oh, no, in La Center, I remember that, at the Double Down.
Yeah.
At the Double Down Casino. One of the casinos there that we don't loathe.
Yeah.
We don't loathe the Palace either.
No.
We don't loathe the Double Down. We don't loathe the Palace. Okay. We had that glass booth, the blowy cash booth in there. But there was like a total of like $55 or something in there. And it was in $5 bills. So there was like only like 10 or 11 of them. There was no chance you were ever going to grab anything in there.
No.
Not going to catch
typical radio content.
Yeah, not going to catch anything in there except whooping cough. That was it. Let me read a couple of these emails. Now I'm just getting a lot of bad photoshops of Black Quiet Riot. Rick. About the Junior Rose Parade. Don't you remember? It was the Junior Rose Parade during which you had the best show ever. It was the misfortunes of a young... Oh, it was our friend Aram in a Pikachu costume. That's right. It was in like June, and it was like 180 degrees, and he was calling it from inside the Pikachu costume. Let's see. We're getting a lot of comments about the Almost Live Stream. That's right. The Almost Live Stream is up. It's at 9:70 a.m. And the show starts at 11, but the stream gets up there around, I don't know, like 11:30 or so you start listening. But apparently, I haven't listened to it, but apparently the sound quality on the Almost Live Stream is stunning. Apparently, it is amazing. People have actually said that the sound quality on the Almost Live Stream is so good that it actually freaks them out a little. It's a little disconcerting because apparently we sound entirely different because it's so good. Let's see. What else do we have? Well, we should probably just break here. What do we got coming up? I have no idea. Mr. Skin's going to join us. We'll talk to CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy later on. Scotty J's top 5 body songs. More from Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. A listener asks us for help with his personal life and a delicate situation. And we might spin the AM 970 wheel of topics. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. I equate that so much with morning show inanity. That's just one of those, and that's one of those things we just, you know, are talking about. 503-733-2970 is the Rick Emerson radio program. Rick, the next time you need Apple products, come see us at the Mac store. I realize now I've just given a plug to this guy. That's what I get for not pre-reading the email. Come see us now at the Mac store, won't you please? He says we're across.
Are there any specials for this?
Listen to how... do you have a happy hour going on that I can talk about? Let's see. And this is, listen to how he appeals to me. We're right next to Lloyd Center. There are no employees working here who would threaten anybody with a basically symmetrical appearance. I look like Schwarzenegger's shorter, fatter cousin, and I'm the delivery driver. We've got lots of merchandise and makeup for our appearance, blah, 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 blah. Why not have any signs? Why not try it today? All right, thank you. It's 503-733-2970. Rick, I tried your new online stream today and was quite surprised. Usually when I listen to you, as I am listening from Texas, it is by podcast. I'm used to hearing you, Sarah, and Tim with lots of hisses, pops, and static, that only the majesty of radio can provide. In this case, when I hear you from the stream, your voices are crisp and clean. Tim and your voices both have a rich, beautiful baritone in the presentation. Sarah can actually be heard with a gorgeous mezzo-soprano voice, as well as having the background music correctly processed. Let's see, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, well, whatever. Anyway, so you can hear the almost live stream at 970.am. 970.am. All right, here's what's coming up at the bottom of the hour. We will have Tim Riley return from the Ministry of Truth. We have the Mr. Skin update from MrSkin.com. We have Scotty J. stop by Body Songs because we did the Body World 3 exhibit this morning. And don't forget, we're going to be giving away a pair of passes every week for the next 5 weeks for that at 970.am. It's all very exciting. Ed McCarthy coming up later. Talk about Bob Barker. We were going to read this listener email here, but now I see that on the phone. Do we have... see, I wish I'd known, Scotty. I would have been better prepared for this. All right, I don't have any intro music here. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show our good friend Cross Country Nate, joining us now on the phone. Hey, sir, how you doing, my brother?
Good. We're having a great time. How are you?
I am fantastic. Where are you guys at now? The last time you checked in, you were in Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
Right. Now we're out in Rapid City, South Dakota.
And so what was in, I don't have the, I don't have the map in front of me. What is in Rapid City, South Dakota?
We just took a picture of a sign that said Reptile Gardens. We didn't really want to go. That's about it. But it's on the way, so we're getting gas.
That's sort of a Cliff's Notes way to see the entire country. You don't actually need to stop and see things. You can just stop and photograph the sign as though you had gone there.
Exactly.
Excellent. So have you seen... So you guys left on Saturday, so you've been on the road for like 5 days. What is the best thing you've seen so far on your trip?
I think the best thing was last night, Kenesha and I decided to drive all night through the Bighorn Mountains, and we just followed this huge lightning storm for like 5 hours, and we never got wet. It was pretty cool.
That is pretty great, actually. One of the things about if you travel through a really flat state or through any of the plain states or anything like that, you'll get those lightning storms sometimes, and they just... Because literally you can just see for hundreds of miles. I mean, the horizon just goes on forever. And... those lightning storms where it's hitting the ground and it seems like it's really near to you, but as you said, by the same token, you never actually get into it because it's so far away. And man, at night, the right music on, you know, just the right kind of vibe, that can be, it's a very beautiful, really surreal experience. So
yeah, it was awesome listening to Weezer.
Fantastic. And then, so what else is on the immediate agenda? Are you guys, how far are you making on a typical day here? How many miles are you making on a typical day?
I don't know. We kind of like driving at night because there's no cars out. So I think we're going to go hang out at up in the forest today and play some music, just hang out, and then drive all night. We don't know where we'll end up, but...
See, but that's kind of the great thing about this. Not a lot of times in your life where you can do that, where you can really just pack up your family, get in the car, and you just make a whole trip around the country. You don't know where you're going necessarily. You don't have a specific, itinerary planned out. You just have a general sense of it. And then you sent us a couple photographs, one of you at the mini Stonehenge, one of the mountains. I don't know exactly where that was.
That was Craters of the Moon. We just took a picture of that, too. It was way too hot.
See, isn't that where you just sort of drove through and you're like, oh, look at it. There it is over there. Look at the car. That's sort of the Clark Griswold just pointing at something out of the car window. Hey, kids, look at all the sprawl. And then just continuing to drive. Now, if you get at all in the vicinity of this creepy psychiatric museum that we've talked about, you have to make sure that you go there because that's one of the things that we have talked about. To go to that, we're dying to know if it's just as creepy as it looks.
Right. What is that? Glore? What? South Dakota?
It's in Glore. It's in Glore, which sounds like a creepy town to begin with. The Glore Psychiatric Museum, I believe it's on. Person.com that our good friend Dave made.
All right. We'll check that out for sure. I just put some new pictures up at myspace.com/dogoodroadtrip.
Excellent. I'll put up a link to that on my site today. I'll make sure that's up there.
Good.
All right. Excellent. Thank you. And, of course, you have the door is open. You have carte blanche. Call us back whenever you need to. Let us know whatever's going on. And keep in touch as we kind of follow your sojourn across the country, sir.
All right, we will. Thanks, Rick.
There you go. There's Cross Country Nate, ladies and gentlemen. I got to edit down that Biggest Ball of Twine in Minnesota song, because that really should be his intro theme. All right, we're trying to get a lot done today. It is now 1:20. I think we have time to do this here. So, this is... I really will never understand why people email or call us with advice for anything remotely resembling a personal issue, because really, there's no really. I don't think there's anybody on this program that's any kind of a roadmap as far as having a successful life in any way other than 4 hours in the studio. But we did get this this email that a guy sent to us, and I don't have it in front of me. So, do you have the email?
I do. I found it.
Okay. So we're going to give you the phone number here. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970.
I feel bad for that guy.
Well, we won't use his name, and we'll sort of adjust this so it sounds proper on the radio. But this is an actual email that we got a couple of days ago. It was some guy who wanted our advice on what we might call a...
problem?
A delicate matter. So go ahead. This is an actual email that a guy gave to us, wanting some sort of advice, some sort of guidance from you, the Rick Emerson faithful. Go ahead and read that if you got it.
All right, here's his email. Next week, I'm going to Seattle for the Police concert. I'm traveling. Oh, this is kind of old. It's like a month old, but. Next week, I'm going to Seattle for the Police concert. I'm traveling and staying with a woman I've been dating for a bit, but we have not stayed the night together. Here's my problem. I'm a night farter. I once woke up with an ex who was sitting on the corner of the bed, her eyes like saucers. She broke up with me 2 days later. I know if I fasted, there would be no gas. But, however, we're eating dinner at one of our favorite southern food restaurants. Fasting and southern food equal a problem that makes listener Logan's explosive diarrhea issue look like firecrackers compared to stick of dynamite. Rick, could you or your listeners please help me figure out a diet to avoid this potential mess? Stop the farts, Rick. Stop the farts.
I hate that phrase.
Art.
I just don't. Just stop.
What am I supposed to say?
I say, you know what it is? I use the clinical term. I simply say there's a problem with gas or flatulence.
I kind of like toots.
Okay, whatever.
Can we stick with that?
Sure, why not? So.
Oh, and you know what? We didn't get to this in time.
Really? Has it already happened?
It's from May 30th. Sorry, dude.
Oh, I'm sorry. That all went to hell. The thing is, I don't wish to dwell on this any more than we really have to today, except to say, apparently because it's already too late. I had no idea that it was so time-sensitive. I kind of read it when it first came in, and I forwarded it to you. I had no idea that there was such a ticking clock on this issue. I don't... First of all, I'm pretty sure this is the only time I've heard anybody describe having this problem. I mean, because we hear all things about sleepwalking, and I had a friend of mine who was a sleep shopper. She lived across the street from a 24-hour supermarket. She would sometimes wake up in the frozen food aisle, not dressed like all that well, but like clearly she had gone to the closet and put on a semblance of the right clothing, and then it had, you know, gone over and started shopping for Tombstone pizzas or whatever at 3 in the morning. And there was some story on K2 the other day about sleep sex or something. Is sexomnia, I think they were calling it. I think that's the actual term they settled on, too.
Sexomnia?
Sexomnia, which is where apparently, you know, you're dead asleep in the middle of the night, and then suddenly you're... But there's that sexomnia thing where you'll wake up in the middle of the night, and you realize that while you were asleep, you've been engaging in amorous behavior and so forth. So the question is, I don't really know what his diet consists of now. I don't know whether if it's just a normal, a regular diet. And I hate to point fingers, but it is my understanding that the more vegetables one takes into one's gullet, the more that... It's like this. I don't really know, like, I don't pretend I know a whole lot about anatomy or about gastro, intestinal issues or whatever. But I do know that, like, I've known, and I'm not referring to anybody here on the show, but I will say that in the past, I've known some people who had a heavily vegetarian diet, and goddamn, they had the worst breath on planet Earth.
They had the worst.
No, see, Tim's giving me the stink eye, and I'm not saying you have bad
no,
breath.
No, not now. You. I have some vegetarians that aren't. I have one in particular who's moved away now, but man, her breath is just death.
I'm not directing this at Tim Riley. I'm sure that Tim's breath just tastes like sweetness and roses. I'm simply saying that in the past, I have known some vegetarians who had terrible, terrible odors coming out of the mouth. So I don't know if that is somehow related to a vegetable-heavy diet or a lack of meat or something. So it is entirely possible that if you have some sort of a vegetable or fruit or fiber-heavy diet, perhaps that results in odors coming out of the opposite end. That might be the case. So I don't really know what diet in particular to suggest, but there's really no... Because I know they sell those products that purport to make that issue go away, but I'm never really sure that any of that works. I'm pretty sure that all that stuff is actually just a scam. See, now that I found out that it is too late to work, we're reading the email like a week after the fact, now I just want to contact the guy and find out if it actually worked or not. If he was able to find a solution, or if the woman was just...
Oh, I feel for him. He comes to us for help and we totally blow it.
We totally screwed it up. We got to it too late. Now I have to know whether it came to pass that he drove another woman from his bed with his uncontrollable vile flatulence.
Oh.
And I feel bad that I'm laughing at it, but what are you going to do? I mean, that's like, I can see how that might be an issue that is just, that you just can't work around. That might be a mountain that's just too big to climb. It's like being with somebody who has uncontrollable snoring. If somebody has uncontrollable snoring, and I say this as a person who has shared a hotel room more than once with Clyde, there have been times, I will just tell you this, and we've got some people calling about this. I will just say this. There have been some times when I was in a hotel room with Clyde, like I went to Vegas with Clyde once, where I swear to you, if I thought I could have gotten away with it, I would have just smothered that guy where he laid. I would have gone, just cut off his head.
When I travel with my parents, my mom is the loudest snorer ever.
Clyde snored so loud that I actually dragged all of my bed covers off and I took them into the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And I shut the bathroom door and I slept in the bathtub. Yeah, I filled up the bathtub with bedding and I slept inside the bathtub. Because, and I mean, if I could have gone to another room in the hotel, if I could have gone and slept in a coat room somewhere, I would have done that. So that is one of those things you just can't... I just can't even imagine how bad... I really don't mean to be dwelling on some pleasant subject, but I can't imagine how bad your guess might be that it actually wakes someone up. I don't know if they're waking up. See, now I want to know if they're waking up from...
Is it the sound or the smell? I mean, I'm certain that is a logical question.
I'm wondering, too. I wonder... There's no way we could get him on the phone. There's no way that he would call up and talk about this on the air. I can't even imagine it. But I was wondering the same thing. I'm wondering if it is the olfactory or the auditory issue here that is causing the real rub of it, or if it's one followed by the other. Like, I wonder.
It doesn't say his ex was covering her face. It says her, you know, just staring at him in disbelief.
I wonder if there's sort of a where she's awakened by the sound, and then when she's awake, it's a whole lot of dear God. And then there's just no sleep to be had after that. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick.
Thank you for the sensitivity and compassion, sir. I'm sure that the emailer appreciates it.
Hey, I'm trying to drive, too. It's kind of tough. Hey, Bino. you heard of Bino, right?
Well, I've seen that, but that's one of those. That doesn't really work, right?
That's like the old lady bloating pill.
Yeah.
The old lady bloating pill.
No, trust me, I have his problem, and I've been married 21 years. Bino works.
And so now is that, but I thought it was like a gag product, like a novelty product that didn't really work.
No, you can pick it up at any pharmacy.
Really? Is that true? Now, how does it, now what is it? Do you just put it on any food at all? Do you just like sprinkle it on there?
Yeah, they have that, but they also have pills you can take. And I don't know what it is, but you know, like broccoli or, you know, the hearty vegetable type of thing that, it just takes care of it. Now, you don't have the urge to explode.
Here's the thing, and I don't... My question is this, and I realize you're probably not a scientist. So, my question is, if you put this Bino, and even the name is embarrassing, I know it sounds like I'm a prude or whatever, it's just, I think working in radio, just the flatulence jokes, it's like I'm overly sensitive to those, which is why we don't do flatulence humor on the show, because I just equate that with being like Chuckling Johnny and the Breakfast Flakes. So yeah. even the name Bino kind of makes me feel a little twingy. But if you're putting that on your food and then you are not having a problem with gas, like where does the gas go? I mean, is it secretly expelled out your ears or something? Or
it prevents it from happening. The reason you have gas and flatulence is because your upper digestive tract is still digesting some of the particles you've eaten.
Can I ask you this question? And here's something I really think about. Wait, and hold on. And speaking of think about it, let me ponder. Let me finish my coffee before I ask you. All right. Let me ask you this. And again, we are speaking now not in a prurient sense. We are talking in the public interest, convenience, and necessity. This is a medical issue.
And maybe we're helping others as
and
well.
We might be helping others who have this problem.
Yes.
Let me ask you this. When you are... I should have asked somebody at OMSI about this. When you are... you're just walking around your day-to-day life, and you feel that perhaps you have... you have perhaps some gas in the lower part of your body, and your body is signaling to you, you have the urge to expel that gas, but then sometimes you're in a public or a social setting where it just is not appropriate, or you would you don't feel it's right to do it, and so you will, how do I put this, you'll suppress
that,
do you know what I, yeah, a little clenching, and you will suppress the release of the gas.
Yep.
My question is, where does that go?
It gurgles back up your digestive tract.
Yeah, but I mean, does it just...
It waits for the appropriate moment.
It waits. It waits in the dark like a bat. But it doesn't... So it does eventually... It's not like it gets absorbed into your into some other part of your body. It just it waits up inside your intestine somewhere? It,
yeah, you know, adds a little explosive power to the movement when it happens.
I swear to God, this is the weirdest conversation. All right, excellent. Thank you. But you suggest the Beano, sir.
Well, yeah, it does work. I've used it in the past, and it does work. And for snoring, those breathe rights just work because
they're a gun.
I've actually had I stayed in a hotel in Vegas at Circus to be effect, and the bellhop woke me up because the snoring was disturbing the people next door.
Oh, the snores! I mean, thank you, sir. My father-in-law so bad he's actually thought about having that operation where they bore out your nose to make it like twice, big or whatever. No, his snoring is. And Clyde, I swear to God, it will rattle pictures off the wall. I mean, it's insane. Let's get this, and then I don't even know how we're going to head. We're so behind, I don't even know what to do here. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick, this is Joe here. I don't know. I know that it could have been the smell, or could have been, because I've done both. I actually, when I was really big into Mexican food for a while.
I love stories that begin this way.
And I literally woke myself and my wife up gagging because of the rotten stench of what was going on there. I mean, she was literally gagging, running for the bathroom, thought she was going to throw up.
And at that moment, you realize how lucky you are that you actually already conned her into marrying you.
absolutely. And then, you know, and then the loudness factor, too, sometimes. But a lot of it, particularly with, like, people who switch their diets and put a lot of more fiber in, it's kind of cleaning out your digestive tract, and so you have a lot of gas right off the bat. So if he's changed his diet, you just add in a little bit.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Thank you. Too soon. Too much. Thank you. We're done with that. Thank you.
He really
did. Well, now we have to email the guy and find out how it worked out.
Since it turns out to rush, right now?
Yeah, so we're actually too late to have helped him. I'm going
to
read this final email, and then we'll figure out what the hell we're doing. Yeah, so ask him if he's willing to call in. Rick, about the OMSI exhibit this morning, you should have taken a recording of Anna Nicole Smith saying, "Like my body," and hidden it somewhere in one of the exhibits. too late, says Andy. Well, it is indeed, sir.
You know, we need to cherish the pictures that we got, too, because I was reading the press pack, and only the media was allowed to take pictures.
We did. Scotty took some great. There's one on your MySpace, right?
Yeah, I have a ton of them. Put them on MySpace.
Rick, why not advise the sleep gas guy to get hosed or have that colon hydrotherapy treatment? He said, I haven't had it done, but I bet it would take care of the problem. You guys should have some insight into the colon hosing treatment, since you and Sarah have both had it done. You know, I can't
say... If not, you're more full of water than you were before.
My wife is being constantly woken up by plumes of liquid fountaining in the bed. All right. All right. It's 503-733-2970. There are now wet gaseous clouds floating above the bed, Rick. What do I do? Okay, Sarah, tell us what to do here. It's 1:35. We got Tim, we got Mr. Skin, we got Ed McCarthy. Are we breaking here? Okay, Tim, we'll have exciting news stories around the corner.
Are we calling
him? Yeah, we'll push him a little bit. We'll do him a little later on. All right, it's 503-733-2970. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid Save Radio. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Mr. Skin from MrSkin.com. Coming up later on, Scotty J's Top 5 Body Song. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, it's Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Barbershop pole has been stolen in Oregon City. A red and white electric barber pole has been stolen for the barbershop in Oregon City. It belonged to the Depot Barbershop. It was bolted to a concrete wall, but heinous thieves pried off the pole with some type of unknown tool. Officers are investigating the theft, and anyone with information is asked to come forward and call the Oregon City Police Department.
Police are looking for an unknown tool.
Right.
All right.
And L.A. County Sheriff Detective Mark Lillenfield is back on the stand today in the Phil Spector murder trial. He previously testified that he found a total of 4 guns in Spector's home as he investigated actress Elena Clarkson's death. He also described what he found in the bag with the initials P.S. on it.
By Zantac pills, I believe. There was my Lanta. There was a Rite 8 brand of stay awake pills, they're called. And then there was a tinfoil pack with one single Viagra pill and then a spot for 2 pills that were missing.
Aw. Isn't that sweet? That's love.
That is. What's the TV guy doing? Well, he's going to be on Larry King tonight. And he's being treated in isolation in Denver for a form of the drug-resistant tuberculosis.
Is this a segment of the program, our TV guide?
It is, TV guide. Without Joan Rivers. He testified by phone in the Senate hearing.
I was repeatedly told that I was not contagious. Not that I was hardly contagious, but I was not contagious. That I was not a threat to anyone. I was walking around doing my job.
This modern-day leper said he would have never had knowingly put anyone else at risk, starting with his own family.
And I, just myself, wouldn't have been around my wife or my daughter and taken that risk that I could get... Give them this. I don't want this.
I don't understand. Okay.
He doesn't want to be a TB patient.
Well, no. Of course not. The blah, 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 TB or not TB. I'm turning to ask Jim, even as I know that none of us are going to know the answer to this. So, I don't understand what makes this guy so significant, because, it's not like you're supposed to get on a plane if you got... But, I mean... There's lots of people who have tuberculosis, right? It's like,
sure.
Across from my father's place downtown, there's that homeless shelter, and there's a huge sign in the window saying, like,
tuberculosis wanted.
Yeah, yes. Do you have tuberculosis? Come hang out, or whatever. So, don't you assume there's probably lots of people who get on airplanes who have tuberculosis?
Or other diseases, for that matter.
Yeah, I mean, that we just don't know about, right?
Uh-huh.
So, some guy just coughing Captain Trips and Ebola into the air circulation system. We just aren't familiar with it, so...
So get used to it. Listen up.
By the way, this guy's wife really isn't that hot. I have seen several photos of her now. She doesn't have a lower jaw, for one thing. It's just sort of a... It really is like God or whoever was building her and then just sort of ran out of parts at some point. Hot body, hot face... And then no lower jaw whatsoever. It's almost like she just, she's like some sort of a pelican missing her pouch. That's kind of what she looks like. Just a big upper jaw and then nothing down below. It really, wearing that hospital mask is the best thing she ever did. Because without that, it's like 50% bad. All right, it's Tim Riley.
Well, even though the Drudge Report is publishing pictures of Turkish troops invading northern Iraq, a Pentagon spokesman, Brigadier General Perry Wiggins, says there's no such thing really going on there.
They are conducting aggressive operations in southeast Turkey, counterinsurgency operations, and they continue to do so.
Okay.
So they're not invading. Is Nicole Richie pregnant? That's a rumor swirling around the skinny star's orbit, but she doesn't seem to be in any hurry to deny it. She recently underwent a series of tests, including blood and urine screenings. That from Life and Style magazine, which reports that the test confirms she is pregnant. Her rep doesn't respond to requests for telephone calls. And it says here, Nicole's determined to get healthy for the sake, her sake, and her baby.
How could she possibly even become, I mean, is it not even going to work? I mean, the baby's just going to fall out of the front of her stomach. I mean, it's just going to be, that's like trying to carry a bowling ball inside a wet paper sack. That thing's just gonna come right out the front.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no way. If she tries to have it, it's just gonna shatter into a million pieces. That's not gonna work. So, who is she dating? Sarah, you must know these kinds of things.
Benji Madden.
I don't even know who that is.
One of the two twins from Good Charlotte.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Those guys could do so much better. Even
yeah,
the fat
dumped,
one.
Yeah, he dumped Hillary Duff and then started dating Nicole Richie.
Oh, come on!
Like,
that's not true.
A week later.
That's not true.
It's true.
Bite your tongue.
It's true.
Why? I don't understand how men and people and I don't understand how people work. I really. Why would you dump Hillary Duff? Okay, let's assume for a moment it even makes sense to dump Hillary Duff, and I question that. But is she legal now even, Hillary Duff?
Legal as in over 18?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. She's hot as balls. So why would you...
I hate it when you say
I'm just
that.
Saying, if you're going to dump Hillary Duff, why would you then immediately start having sex with what is effectively a cheese grater with a face? I just don't even understand that. It makes no sense to me at all. That is just completely so off the charts ludicrous. Well, whatever. Okay. Fantastic. I guess. To each his own. All right. Are we... is that the extent of the news for now?
Well, I got another story here.
Fantastic.
About Chinese people.
Okay.
A Chinese takeout restaurant in the foothills of Tucson has removed racially insensitive language from its menu, websites, and advertising flyers. Community groups had denounced the language as racist. Mike Reynolds, owner of Egg Rolls, etc., apologized in a telephone interview for using the word Chinaman in his ads, saying he was initially unaware it was considered a derogatory term. He said he didn't think his menu, on the whole, is intended to hurt or damage anyone, but apologized for any misunderstanding created by jokes on his menu, which include a parody of the inability of immigrant Chinese to pronounce words containing the letter R.
So it's the, but it's, he has, blah, 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 says the word. Because remember, Colin Powell had to apologize for that.
Yes.
Do you remember about, like, three, four years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Colin Powell was doing something, and he used that word Chinaman. And I don't... Here's a question, and I don't ask this to be, I'm not asking this to be edgy. I really do, a matter of linguistics, I really don't understand this. Here's a question. So if that is considered, as I believe the article says it is, if the phrase Chinaman is considered an unacceptable phrase,
mm-hmm.
then is it, now, can you say Englishman?
Yes.
Why?
Well, because that's okay.
But why?
I don't know.
Hmm.
Okay. There's no strong and white guide for that. I'm going to stop saying Englishman now. I'm going to stop saying any word ending in man. Just because it's, apparently it's impossible to tell.
Oh, it's Spider-Man.
No?
Is that
no,
spiders?
Nothing. Seriously, don't say anything ending in man, ever.
Superman?
All right. And seriously, you do need some sort of a slide rule or a scorecard to keep track of this. All right. Well, whatever. It's 503-733-2970. All right, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from MrSkin.com, the online celebrity nudity database, our good friend Mr. Skin. Why, hello there. How are you, sir?
Hey, Rick, how's it going?
It is going well, brother. It's been a couple weeks since we've talked. I know you've been out. You've been on the road doing stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Doing whatever. Let's see. I got somebody already sent me. I got a preemptive question for you. Somebody wanted to know something. Let's see. Somebody said, I haven't seen this movie. Is it true that you or that your site, you guys have a pretty big cameo in Knocked Up, right?
Yes, it's been huge. I've known about this for a while, couldn't say anything because I signed a confidentiality agreement, but now I can talk about it. The movie Knocked Up features a great product placement of MrSkin.com. In fact, Judd Apatow, the director, who also did 40-Year-Old Virgin and Seth Rogen, the star of the movie. I talked to both of them at the... I was lucky enough to go to the movie premiere in L.A. and then to the after party, and they said that they told me that they based the character of Seth Rogen, what he does for a living, on my job, thinking it was hilarious that him and the guys would start a female celebrity nudity website or attempt to, not knowing that MrSkin.com exists.
That's the whole thing, right? When he's not busy hitting the bong, he's just sitting there skimming through movies looking for boobs. So
yeah, which obviously I could relate to pretty much, but they thought it would be really funny to make that his job description. And what's really cool is then they show MrSkin.com in the movie. It's a real cool scene. I won't ruin it, but I will say that Knocked Up is going to be to MrSkin.com what E.T. was for Reese's Pieces. So.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's really neat. I'm very flattered that a movie this thing's got like 90% positive reviews. It's just a hilarious movie, and a movie that people are going to, you know, see many, many times on DVD and in, you know, when it hits cable. On top of that, to be associated with a movie like that and all that free publicity is really cool.
Somebody else has asked here, is it true that MrSkin.com has a section on Jessica Tandy? And if so, it says, why, for the love of God, why?
We do not discriminate when it comes to nudity. And unfortunately, when Jessica Tandy was 84 years old, she did a nude scene in a movie called Camellia. And to put in perspective, this was 4 years after driving Miss Daisy, and it's the only time I've ever seen an actress more wrinkly before she went skinny dipping than when she came out. So it's a rough scene, but hey, we don't discriminate. It's the oldest nude scene at Mr. Skin.
No, it's a big tent you have. You know, you're welcome all comers there. See,
yeah, 18 the toothless, I guess is what it is. So.
When you say oldest, is the oldest actress. What is the actual in terms of when it was filmed? What's the earliest clip?
We have in 1927 the movie Wings. Clara Bow has a scene where you could see her topless for a split second, and we have that at the website. We also have Hedy Lamarr in Ecstasy, a 1932 movie where she chases a horse completely naked, and we span the thing. That, unfortunately, the 40s, the 30s and 40s and most of the 50s was skin free due to the Hayes Commission, but then thank God for Brigitte Bardot, Sophia Loren, and those movies, and then we caught up here in the U.S. in the 60s.
And of course, there was sort of a golden age there. There was Brigitte Bardot, and there was Ursula
Andress. Yeah, Tina LaBrigida, and Ursula Andress, and all them, yeah.
So what's opening at, like, either on DVD or the theaters?
Yeah, new stuff. Well, Hostel Part 2, Eli Roth's movies in theaters this weekend, and there's some very nice nudity. If you remember Hostel, the first one, there was incredible nudity in that movie, but this one, there's tons of nudity, but just the first one is so hard to beat. But one of the girls that gets naked is Heather Matarazza, who people might remember.
Really? From Welcome to the Dollhouse?
You got it. The girl who played Wiener Dog, yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she shows her sweater puppy, so this is big news. It'll be in Hostel Part 2 opening this weekend. So.
Okay, see, now that's, and I'm not a huge Eli Roth fan, but that is almost, just out of pure curiosity, that's almost enough to get me to go see that.
You got to see Wiener Dog, yeah.
That is really unbelievable. What else is opening?
As far as theaters, that and then Knocked Up. Now, one thing I didn't even get to mention, all the excitement about the Mr. Skin appearance in Knocked Up, that opened up last Friday, but there is nudity an hour and 29 minutes in. Stormy Daniels and Nautica Thorne play strippers. They're topless. A girl named Emerson Riley is topless. So there's a couple of good nudes. A girl named Emerson Riley is topless in that movie.
Here's the thing you have to know, is that in addition to myself, Rick Emerson, the newsman sitting to my right is named Tim Riley.
Oh my God, okay.
The idea that there is a nude actress named Emerson Riley is really the creepiest, greatest thing ever.
Yeah, that would not be it. I can see why that would ruffle your feathers.
I'm going to Google her right now while we're talking. All right.
Yeah, so anyway, there is nudity in Knocked Up. I wanted to mention that. Now, as far as DVDs, you know, it's funny. They're releasing two skin classics from the 80s this week, movies that have never been on DVD that I'm excited to report are finally on this week. A movie called 52 Pickup with Roy Scheider.
Oh, Roy Scheider, yeah.
Yeah, it's a great one from 86. Not only do you get to see Vanity. Remember her? She was Prince's girl. She was in Purple Rain. She has some really good nudity in this. And porn star Amber Lynn, but we don't, you know, if the porn star's naked in an R-rated movie, no big deal.
Right.
But 36 minutes in, Kelly Preston, a young Kelly Preston, and in a bondage video within the movie, has a great nude scene. So really good nudity in this movie. It's called 52 Pickup, and obviously you remember it from your days.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Yeah, it is. It's really good. That's new on DVD this week. And then one of the great lesbian movies, and I say that because of some of the greatest girl-girl moments in cinema history. There's a movie called Desert Hearts from 1985. It starred Helen Shaver. You might remember her from The Color of Money. She was Paul Newman's babe in that. And then Patricia Charbonneau is also. It's just really, like, you know, when you have the ratings of, when people ask me, like, what are my favorite girl-girl moments in movie history, this scene in Desert Hearts always is a top tenner, and this DVD has additional never-before-seen footage, so that's big news, and that's out new on DVD this week.
Excellent. MrSkin.com, the online celebrity nudity beta database. As always, my friend, it's a pleasure. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Good talking.
Thank you, brother. There you go. Emerson Riley. Okay, and I can't find any photographs of her. Maybe that's a good thing. That's just too freaky. All right. We're going to take a break here. We'll come back. Coming up next hour, Scotty J's top five body songs, Ed McCarthy from CNN Radio, and so forth. You stay there. Back after this, it's the Rick Emerson radio program.
It was the happiest night of my life. I gave that ring, open CD through to me. That tune finally was drunk sincerity. And I'm waiting
Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. Let's see. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we have more from Tim Riley and so forth. We got the top five coming up. Scotty J's top five body songs of all time. That's on the way. Like Us at 3. Don and Mike at 7. And so forth. And whatnot. 503-733-2970. If you'd like to email us, you can do that as well. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Rick@rickemerson.com. People have asked us, by the way, about the contact of the other members of the show. You can do that if you like. Everybody has their own zinky email address, as Nick Twist would say. It is rick@rickemerson.com, sarah@970.am, tim@970.am, and Scotty, because he's extra special, Scotty gets two. So there is scottyj@970.am.
Scotty is very special.
He is. He is among the most special of people. or scottyj@solidstateradio.am. I was going to read, before we do anything else, because we're getting kind of behind, and I know that we're still a breakdown. So I know we got to do...
Let's do something really quick and then...
We'll do something real quick, and we're going to do our very best to catch up here. So we'll do something real quick. We've got more from Tim. We do have... and I'm going to talk real quickly. Again, people have asked about the Body Worlds 3, and they have asked how they can do that. And the deal is you go to 970.am. You can do it right now. As a matter of fact, every... What is today? Wednesday. So tomorrow, we will be picking... doesn't matter. It's funny to me.
This way too much. We're
totally
gonna get fired and everyone's gonna think we're joking.
That's the thing, is the day they finally blow us out, nobody will believe us. The day that this faculty actually flips back to a straight country or whatever they call it again, nobody will believe that it's happening. Let's just hi, hello, Rick Emerson show.
Oh, sweet merciful crap, that's not funny.
You're not sitting on this end, pal. Over here where I'm sitting, it's hilarious.
No, it sucks. This is Boba Fett. I'm sitting here, I've got one phone, I'm on the line with you guys. The other phone I'm on with mailman Chris. I'm like, what's going on? He's like, did they go off at the hour? I said, I don't know, but I'm ready to go get some more coffee mugs.
All right, thank you, sir.
Yep.
All right. Boy, what the hell did that come from? Hi, Rick Emerson show. Hello.
Hey, look on the bright side, Scotty J. At least it's not...
Thank you. Thanks so much. Bye. All right, there you go. It's the Rick Emerson Show. You're listening to KCMD Portland, 503-733-2970.
Just for now.
Hi, hello, Rick Emerson Show.
Oh, man, that wasn't okay. What's up with that?
Well, you know, here's the thing. It's a little secret. We actually knew that we were going to be going off the air for about 60 seconds, 90 seconds, something like that today. The engineering department had told us about that. And I swear to God, up until the very last moment, we were torn about whether to warn people or not. We were really torn about whether or not to let people know that we were going to be going off the air for about a minute and a half.
And that ain't cool.
There was a certain faction, I won't say who, there was a certain faction to the show that wanted to warn people. That to say, hey, we're going to be going off the air for about a minute and a half. Don't freak out. They got to do it. They're doing a little work on the transmitter. And it required turning it off, basically restarting the transmitter. There was a certain faction of the program that wanted to warn people. There was a certain faction of the program that felt that it would be more amusing, and by amusing, I mean amusing to us, to just do it. And then instead of just coming right back with the Proud Mary, just to up the sphincter tightening a little bit by just coming back with a format that we could have plausibly switched to, which is country gold. So there you go.
Best show ever.
Thank you.
Thanks. All right, man.
All right, there you go. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
You suck.
Thank you.
First of all, I'm hearing that Eddie Rabbit song. It reminded me back when I used to work in country radio.
Yes,
I'd sing along to that. Then you played Dolly, and I'm like, okay, what's going on here, getting that bad feeling.
Yes.
And then I realized you're just doing a little War of the Worlds.
Yeah, no, that's
2007.
True. That's what it is. We don't even need to really work at it. We don't even need to put any thought into our radio theater. All we have to do is be quiet for about 30 seconds and then play Proud Mary. All right.
Why does everyone automatically think, oh, Rick got fired again?
Yes, it is. Welcome to radio, sir. Thank you, my friend.
Bye.
All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. I'm one of your delivery drivers, and I almost, like, just drove my truck off the road because I thought that they just come in and told you to pack your stuff again. So glad to know that you're still on.
Well, here's the thing. You can look at it one of two ways. Either that this is a... Scotty, is this Ed on the call-in line? I don't... would you please let me know if that's Ed McCarthy? It's lit up, but I can't... I don't want to pick it up until I know what it is. Well, okay. Well, all right. Well, I'll talk to you in a second. Yeah, there's one of two ways to look at this. Or either A... we are, again, going to be the station that cried wolf, and someday they will blow us out, and you guys will sit there for, like, an hour waiting for us to come back on. And we'll be, by that time, our key cards will have been turned off, our passwords on the computer won't work, and I will put all my things in a box, and I'll be at home drinking. either that, or B, it's sort of like swinging three bats in the on-deck circle, where we're just slowly numbing you to the pain so that it doesn't hurt you as much when it finally happens.
Thank God for the podcast.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. All right, we'll go through this final bank, and then we'll move on. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
You know, if you'd used Spanish radio, I would have bought it.
Now, can I tell you this? This is how great the audience is. You guys really see three layers ahead. We looked for some Spanish radio audio. We really ought to do is track down some of the jingles from when, because this used to be a classic country station. This was an alternative rock station. It was a disco station at one point. I would like to find some old jingles from when 970 was whatever. We did try very hard to find some Spanish music, but we didn't have any access to it. So that would have made it a little bit more believable, but the classic country was our second choice.
I'm glad you're still here.
You and me both, friend. Thank you.
Bye.
So is my landlord. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, I was driving in my car, and I got absolutely pissed off thinking it had to be the No Child Left Behind bit.
Yes.
I was like, boy, that group is so sensitive. I was getting pissed.
Yeah, they don't mess around. Yeah, they get you taken off the air 12 minutes later now. All right.
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you.
Good to have
you. Let's see. This email says, I hate you. Rick Emerson, you are not funny. Not. Proud Mary makes me want to jump off a bridge. I'll take the wheels off your bike, you bastard. Signed, your token Puerto Rican. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Okay, Rick. This is Diana from downtown.
Hi. How you doing?
Well, this, now that my heart rate is back to normal,
yeah.
I was actually figuring you were going to look for Russian radio because, you know, that's a new upcoming trend in the area.
Yes, apparently. Well, I, you know, it's we're just doing our part to keep people on their toes.
Okay, now, so like, can't you take this bank of calls, go to CBS, and like, look how frantic they are over a minute and a half of silence. We all, big, you know, deserve some big fat pay raises.
Yeah. I'm sure that's all it would take. I'm sure it works just that way in radio.
Of course. Well, just like in public health. Okay, baby?
There you go. Diana, who's going to be seeing Body World's... there you go. Thank you. Who's going to be seeing Body World Sunday for her birthday. I think her boyfriend is taking her to that. All right. Scotty, should I pick up line the warm line? No. I guess not.
Well, let's break.
All right. Well, okay. I swear to God, we're back. We are back on the air now. We're going to break here. We really will be coming back after this, I think. We'll be back after this. Don't go anywhere. The Rick Emerson Show continues. Tim Riley ahead and Scotty J. South 5 Body Songs. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. The Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. All right, a little bit of instant karma has happened. This is what we get for screwing with the audience. Now the phones are completely dead. Really, that is the definition of instant punishment. Sorry about that. So if you're trying to call in right now, it may or may not be ringing. It may or may not be answered. It may or may not have a shrill beeping sound on the other end. No one really seems to know. So we're working on it right now. We are... Oh, so sorry. It's 503-733-2970. You want to email as well? It's rick@rickemerson.com. Ladies and gents, don't forget we're going to be giving away a pair of passes each and every week for the next 5 weeks to Body Worlds 3 at OMSI. That is done by going to 970.am. You sound like to be a glorious bastard. That's your shot right there. Ladies and gentlemen, will you please put your hands together for the Reverend Tim Riley?
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Lady has been hauled away by Portland police. This after driving through the Junior Rose Festival parade route. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently she didn't know that the Sandy Boulevard was closed. Why would it be on Sandy Boulevard, of all places?
Well, it's a route that people are familiar with.
Yeah, I suppose, but I mean, well, all right.
Yeah. Apparently, the woman's car, a four-door sedan, appeared to be damaged with a broken windshield. Officers took her keys away and put her in the paddy wagon and hauled her away in the Who's Cow. So I... No idea.
So the parade is going on right now.
Well, it's probably over by now.
So the... So not only is Sandy Boulevard, or was Sandy Boulevard, closed because of the children, but now
just
Sarah...
the children.
When Sarah was talking about, she got a whole ass out of here because that bridge lift is going to screw her on the way out. So, I mean, it's just a whole lot of unpleasantness. This is all because of the stupid Rose Festival, isn't it?
Yep. It's all because of the stupid Rose Festival.
Genius. All right. Well, so anyway. But, you know, the good news is it'll be over on Sunday.
Thank goodness.
Right, Sunday. Oh, and I still have to call my stupid... I'm sorry. I'm just flashing back to last weekend and all the things that have gone wrong with scheduling this week. I got to call my stupid shrink today and try to reschedule my stupid goddamn shrink appointment.
Now you seem to be doing okay without it.
Thank you. Appreciate your assessment.
Well, aside from the phones, see, you took that well.
Yeah.
What worse could happen, possibly?
I don't know. Let's ask that a little louder. I don't know. What else could possibly go wrong today? And then that will immediately cut to us standing on a street corner waiting for TriMet to take us and our headphones back to our respective homes.
Mm.
All right.
Well, this is the day that all the ships come in, ladies. They're expected to arrive around 3 o'clock, and then the remaining ships will come in tomorrow afternoon. But exact times haven't been released.
So just stand down there and something revealing and slutty.
Wave your hanky. And
I know what I'm doing.
Stuff off the ship.
I can't wait. All right.
The Canadian Maritime Forces, whatever they are, will bring in 4 ships this year. So Canada's defenseless, if anyone wants to go in and take it over. And you can tour the ships beginning at 12:30, Friday through Sunday. And please don't bring weapons aboard, because they don't want that.
And officially this year, they're no longer allowing explosives on the ships. And large bags, including diaper bags.
And apparently the open-toed shoes thing.
No open-toed shoes.
The always prescient Bruce Agler was prepared with an answer for this. Apparently because there's a lot of things to which trip on or ram your delicate toes into. So apparently that's why they do it.
And no making speeches on the ships, it says. Maybe somebody tried it before.
Really? Is that true?
Yeah, no making speeches.
No standing on top of the bow and speaking like Bill Pullman. You know what is really sad? Is that I mentioned this Emerson Riley. How, that is still freaking me out that there's an actress named Emerson Riley and that she apparently gets nude
like
in
a hybrid of both of us.
And it's knocked up movie. Please don't send me any photoshops of a Tim Riley,
you know,
Rick Emerson nude, you know, composite. I'm trying to find photographs of this actress, because Mr. Skin was on last hour, and he was like, well, Rick, you know, in this new movie Knocked Up, Emerson Riley gets nude. I really, and now I'm obsessed with finding out what Emerson Riley looks like, and there's no photographs of her. Not on Google Images, and not on the Internet Movie Database, and apparently Knocked Up is the only thing she's done. So I can't find any photographs. So pleased to be tracking down and finding now a photograph of Emerson Riley and sending it along to me. So there you go. All right.
That is weird, isn't it?
It is indeed.
So just remember, because of the ships coming in, it's going to affect the MAX trains. Don't ask me how, but they always find an excuse for things to affect MAX trains.
No, it's true. The MAX trains, and you talk about it, it's like those. It's like a tram, which they say can operate in all kinds of weather, yet they close it down the slightest time there's a puff of wind, anytime there's any sort of heavy snow. Same thing with the MAX, which is supposedly able to run 24 hours a day, and yet anytime there's ice, a parade, a bicyclist, a ship, anything, they just stick you onto some. And what did they say? The MAX is sticking onto it like some horrible airport shuttle and dumping you in Old Town?
Let's see here. Due to the bridge lifts, all MAX trains may drop off passengers in Old Town. Well, you'll be left to fend for yourself.
Well, you'll be set upon by thieves
and
bandits.
Leave all your money in wallets at home.
Jesus.
Then you'll take a shuttle bus where half the people are murderers anyway.
And everything in Old Town is covered in mold and under construction anyway. All this, half the streets down there. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's some of the generic.
The people are Shanghai.
Some construction. I don't think you can say that anymore, Tim Riley. I believe that is a racist phrase. It will no longer be allowed on these airways.
Shanghai?
Yes.
That is an event that happens. Well, it used to happen back in the old days.
I don't think you mean. When
where
you
people
event,
were kidnapped.
It sounds like a carnival.
Oh, well, it's the Rose Festival. It's part of that.
Isn't Shanghai a place?
Yes, it is.
That's like saying you were Cleveland. Did.
That's racist.
I guess against people in Cleveland. I'm sorry. I don't wish to. We still have to get back to that creating a fictitious ethnic group to hold everything against. We got to get to one of those. Because, you know, within a year, that'll be the only thing we can do. That'll be the only people we can make fun of, is a completely fictitious race of people. What was I talking about? Old Town, blah, blah, blah. But there does seem to be, it's so confusing, nearly omnipresent construction down there now. And here's the thing, unlike some of the construction, for example, let me ask you this. What is it exactly, and I ask this question knowing that there might not be any answer, what exactly are they doing to Burnside?
You know, I know they're building high-rises down there.
Well, they're doing that, but that's like...
What, like near PGE Park?
No, I'm saying, well, are they doing something up there, too?
Yeah, they just built a bunch of apartment buildings and stuff.
Big high-rise.
Well, there's that. And, no, I'm talking about Burnside by, like, Dante's and as you're going over the bridge. Because you go down there any time after, you know, like 5, 6 o'clock, it's all down to one lane, they're tearing things up. I'm unclear about what they're even doing. Also, in Old Town, they've got all kinds of streets blocked off and the streets entirely covered with tarps. But I've asked around there and nobody really seems to have any clue as to what the kind of construction is. You get the feeling that it's just, they just sort of spun a wheel somewhere and they landed on that street as the one to tear up. So, all right. Well, in any event. And try not to be Shanghai'd or whatever the phrase is that we're going to use for that. All right.
Hotel Harris, Paris Hilton, has another jail visitor. According to People magazine, her shrink, Dr. Charles Sophie, stopped by today and stayed for a short period of time. Last month, the shrink told the judge that due to Hilton's current psychological and emotional state and her fear over her upcoming time behind bars, she is not capable of testifying to the ongoing slanders against her. Sophie has been treating her for about 8 months. Hilton has been visited in jail twice by her attorney, Richard A. Hutton. He says that Hilton is coping with their temporary digs as well as possible. She was ordered to spend here 23 days. Well, we all know that. A 17-year-old Staffordshire student in England is taking legal action after finding her photograph on the front cover of a porn film.
Don't
Laura Kooten had was taken on the family holiday when she was just 14, and she was used by a U.S. employment firm for a movie called Body Magic. Now, last year, Laura emailed a picture to an arts website, which displays work of students across the U.K. Her mother had taken the photograph inside her hotel room in 2004. She captured her daughter wearing a black top hat and a black dress. She was horrified when she found out it was using she was being used to sell a porn film. She wants compensation for it. Rising levels of childhood obesity.
Hold on. Let me understand this. She's horrified that her image is being used to sell a porn film.
Yeah.
And to remedy this, she wants to make money off the sale of the porn film.
That's correct, yes.
Okay, just checking. Just double checking.
Right, it's part of the healing process.
Yes, apparently so.
Chinese kids are getting fat. We're not talking about Chinese people here. We're talking about Chinese kids who live in China.
You're not talking about China men either,
no,
or
I'm talking
women.
About China
or,
children.
Or you. You're talking about Chinese youths of both genders.
China children.
All right. Yeah. China children.
They're being forcing the government to come up with a new way to fight the battle of the bulge.
China children sound like something that the Franklin Mint would sell.
Well, that
would be like handmade like China figurines of adorable Muppets playing on swings with puppies.
Look for it in the Sunday Parade magazine.
Yes.
So the Chinese people in charge have said the Chinese children will try dancing. The China Daily, their newspaper, has set seven dance steps up, and they have been approved for students at different age levels. The paper says the dance steps are designed to last 4 or 5 minutes and are to be performed, quote, during class breaks and other extracurricular time. A study last year showed almost 1 in 5 Chinese children are overweight or obese, and children are not getting any better, especially Chinese boys.
Okay. This email says, about the construction.
I think the phone's working.
First, hey, I'm so unclear. I don't even want to... Let's see. Hi, Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick. It's Mailman Chris.
Hey, Scotty, the phones are working again, just so you know.
We don't know why.
Somebody's calling the hotline, Scotty. Now they're gone. I wonder how long people have been calling. We've just been ignoring the phones for like 20 minutes because they told us we were told they weren't working, and no one ever bothered to clarify that. All right. Hi, what's up?
Oh, hey, I just thought I'd call in and thank everyone who's sending me the MySpace messages about my missing son who's finally turned back up after a couple days.
Oh, I was not aware of that.
Yeah, I didn't call up and make it a big deal on Monday, but...
Are you sure he didn't just run away to join the parade on Sandy?
Or the Black Parade, one of the two.
Yes.
You know. Hey, have you given away the tickets for tomorrow night? Opening yet?
I think that has actually been done through the database, as they say already. I think the Glorious Bastards, I think those emails did go out. We didn't announce it on air because it needed a lot of tickets. It was time consuming. So I think if you have won those, I think you have already been notified via the Glorious Bastards. So I think the Glorious Bastards who won those have already received an email. I'll have to verify that. But I do think that's the case. We are going to be giving away a pair every week though for the next 5 weeks as well.
Sweet. And on a side note, since I'm getting messages from Aaron on my phone at the same time, go to Geek in the City to see my review on his website of the new Judd Apatow movie, Knocked Up.
And but you give it a strong thumbs up?
I give it a definite strong thumbs up. I saw myself in so many parts of that movie, of the loser stoner who knocks up a girl accidentally and has to do the right thing by her. I'm speaking theoretically, of course.
Awkward. Okay. Thanks so much.
But it's a fantastic movie.
Yeah.
So go see it.
Okay. Thank you.
Have
Bye
a good
now.
Day.
Jesus Christ.
This kid was missing?
Yes.
Yeah, we are bad, selfish people. Do you realize that?
Yes. But that's what we're here for.
Hard to believe that a troubled child might have come out of that environment. Or would in any way find that family dynamic off-putting.
What's Alex Trebek up to
these days? I don't know. Please tell me. Please tell me in excruciating detail.
Well, the 66-year-old host of Jeopardy, now in his 23rd year presiding over the syndicated quiz show, says he's thinking about retirement. I don't have to prove anything anymore, and neither does Bob, although it is fun to do the show.
Who's Bob?
Bob Barker.
Oh, I see. So this is Alex Trebek piggybacking on the press about Bob Barker.
Right. Dateline, Burbank, California. Same area.
I see. Doesn't Alex Trebek seem like the most spectacularly tight-ass person you've ever seen? Can't you just imagine him in person? I mean, just I can't imagine. Imagine spending social time with Alex Trebek.
I bet he sits in his smoking room and reads great books.
Do you suppose?
And that's where Brandy...
I don't picture Alex Trebek being that refined. I picture Alex Trebek going home to some sort of, like, a clean room. Yeah. Just going home to some sort of a room where everything is painted black, and it's a completely Spartan, unfurnished environment, and he just, like, sleeps on a wooden bed with no covers.
No.
You know?
No.
I think of Alex Trebek as kind of a Dave Paul type of person.
Oh, I guess I could see that.
Yeah.
All right.
He probably goes out to the theater or something.
Yes, with Mrs. Trebek or
yes.
Whoever. All right. Sarah, do we have time to do the top five?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Hey, Tim, would you like to do the top five?
Oh, would I?
Would you?
Would give me greater pleasure.
4, 3,
how sad.
2, 1, fire.
That's the most depressing thing I've heard all day. Other than Chris's call just now.
Counting is wonderful. Counting is marvelous. Counting's the best thing you do.
Gentlemen, we have now the top five body songs according to... By the way, I feel like I have to make this announcement every time now. Scotty created this list. All we're doing is reading it, playing the songs, commenting on it.
I gave him a huge amount of really good songs, and he was just like, thanks, I have my own list.
Thank you. I'm Scotty J.
So naughty.
I'm Scotty J.
Alex Trebek light.
I don't need your advice, woman.
He asked for my advice, so I gave it to him. He's like, oh, yeah, I had a couple of those songs. I'm good, thanks.
Yeah, he's all that. Let's hear the top five body songs according to Scotty J. Here's Tim Riley.
At HM, His Majesty, Dennis Leary.
Honorable mention, I believe.
I'm sorry.
His Majesty, a member of the British Empire, Dennis Leary.
Voices in my head, clean, please.
Dennis Leary?
Yeah, that's what it says here.
Did he bleep this?
I don't know, but I think we're here tonight.
Scotty, is this clean that we're playing right here?
Well, it's only a runner-up anyway.
We're not going to play anymore.
No.
Thanks for working on it. We're going to move on.
Let's go to number five. Here is Creed with Arms Wide Open.
Are you kidding me? I'm unclear about whether this is...
Okay. About a billion singers with the same type of delivery came out with songs like this.
Do we think that he put this on here sincerely, or is this a joke?
Well, it's body parts with arms.
Yeah.
Arms wide open.
Okay, but here's the thing. As we go through this, and you hear some of the songs that... Or how do I put it? You notice some of the songs that are missing from this? You will wonder to yourself why he put Creed on here, when there's some real obvious omissions on this list.
Isn't this guy in jail or something?
No, he should be, though, because he, from all appearances, the evidence indicates that he might be the beaty type.
He's kind of beaty. No, there's nothing wrong with him. He loves me.
His wife, all right. Well, I was just going to say, apparently she trips a lot. That's all, I'm told. I'm heard that there's a lot of doors. I heard that there's a lot of doors in her house.
And sharp corners?
Yeah, that jut out at odd angles with no warning when she talks back.
At number four, it's The Rat.
Thank you.
Body Talk.
Thanks so much for getting me out of the crease. Body Talk. I haven't heard this forever. This is on their greatest hits, 8191 set. Got their name from what?
The Rodents?
From Mickey. This is one of those songs that is so great and so perfect that you can't imagine a time when it didn't exist. I mean, this song is just part of the cultural thread. I mean, it's just a... It's like, I don't want to say it's like Stairway to Heaven, but I mean, it is one of those songs that you just sort of hear the song and it's sort of perfect. It's hard to believe that a guy sat down and wrote it.
I'm hearing some high-pitched tone in my ear.
I think we're off the air again. Would you check the air monitor, please?
For sure.
Okay.
Let's just keep listening to this song then.
All right. Do I dare play Proud Mary again?
No, let's not.
Okay.
This is just getting annoying.
It is. All right, Scotty, will you please keep us in the loop about this?
Well, Plus, we can listen to Peter Gabriel.
That's fine. Let's take some phone calls. Hi, Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick, it's Chris.
Hi.
Hey, once was funny, but twice, what's going on, man? I turn on the radio again, and it's like...
Yeah, you know, this is...
Yeah.
Now, if you're listening to live streaming, are you hearing this in real time?
No, because the stream is almost
live. Oh, now we're on the air.
I think we're back on the air. The stream is only almost live. The stream's delayed by about 40 minutes, which means that the Seamus and company who are listening online are just now getting the joy of the first time.
Oh, wow.
No, it's still record. I mean, that is a good point, Scotty. Scotty, this is a really good point. Scotty knows this, that if you are listening online to the podcast or to the stream, we don't go off the air.
That's what I thought.
I hadn't thought about that. Well spotted.
It's
so
weird because of the transmitter. If we're shutting down the radio transmitter or whatever, then it's not going to go through the computer.
It's the program feed, not the air feed.
Right.
Well spotted, Tim. I hadn't really thought
about it. Well, it's like when the Twin Towers went down in New York, the television stations went off the air, but they were still receivable on cable.
I hadn't thought about that at all. Well spotted. All right, I think we're back on the air now. All right, thank you, sir.
Yeah, you are. Have a good day.
You know, that is totally instant karma, though.
We now return to regular programming. Yeah. Already in progress.
Did we made fun of going off the air. We screwed with the audience a little bit earlier, and now God is killing our phones and taking us off the air again. All right, get this done. Here's the next two songs in the top five body list.
Number two, AC/DC, Shake a Leg.
This is by... Oh, and now my computer won't work. All right, there we go. This, by the way, is... in my top five AC/DC songs of all time.
Well, then Scotty did good.
He did. He also did well.
You're a dick.
Okay. I like you looked for another word there, and then you just dove right in.
I know. Good and well always confuse me.
Yeah.
Huh? I'm the one with the college degree.
Speaking good, no easy. It's okay. This is a great song. Yeah. One of the greatest albums ever, really. I know it goes without saying, but goddamn. It doesn't sound the slightest bit dated either. It just sounds like everything else they do, even now.
This lady has a nice voice.
All right, here's number one, Scotty J's top five body songs of all time.
Number one, Motley Crue, Kickstart My Heart.
Yeah. It does seem odd that there's no drowning pool on this list. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, because we have access to that, too. We have the access to the KUFO library. Well, what are you going to do? Hey, don't forget.
Hey, can I give you my list of the ones I suggested?
Yes. Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Let's see. These are just ones. A Total Eclipse of the Heart, In Your Heart, and In Your Eyes, Peter Gabriel, Let's Body Hit the Floor, Drowning Pool, Big Butts, Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Yes.
Open Arms, Journey. And then I think you should put it like, found some ridiculous version of Head and Shoulders, Knees and Toes.
Okay. There you go. I don't know what I would have put on here. I have nothing better to suggest. All right. Back after this, we'll come back, wrap it up. Like us at 3, Don and Mike at 7. You say that it's a Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Saddest part of the broadcasting day. Well, for you anyway. I think we all want to get the hell out of here. How long do we have until the music starts? The other
30
music?
Seconds.
All right. Don't forget, OMSI, Body Worlds 3. We're going to be giving away tickets for that. So go to 970.am. Sign up to be an AM 970. Glorious bastard. Sorry about all the screwing with you today. With the station going off the air and so forth. What are you going to do? Let's see. Today is Wednesday. Coming up tomorrow on the Rick Emerson Show. I have no idea what's coming up tomorrow on the Rick Emerson Show. No idea. Not at all. Zero. Well, we didn't even get Ed McCarthy today talking about Bob Barker. We might try to do a little bit of a late recap on that tomorrow. We want to thank CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard for joining us today, as well as Mr. Skin from MrSkin.com. Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970, Solid State Radio in the newsroom. Tim Riley, executive producer, is me. I say, because I screwed that up and did the old credits again. Our PA is Scotty Jane at the front desk. The gatekeeper is Dave Zinn. Also, we want to thank our good friend John, who played Tim Riley this morning at Omni. We'll do so again for a little bit on Friday. Like us next, Dynamike at 7, Dennis Miller tomorrow, 8 to 11. We'll be back at 11 tomorrow. As always, my friends, don't let the bastards grind it down, and do try to help the retarded. I raised $30 for the Special Olympics this morning. What did you do? All right. And we're done. I'm so ready to be gone today.
You ended like 30 seconds early.
And,
find something amusing to play.
Hello.
One big fiesta for illegal aliens and homosexuals.